This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 182, Captain America.
We finally made it to 182.
We finally made it to our milestone, 182.
That doesn't sound as important as 180.
Let me know when we get to 190, then I'll get super excited.
Let me know when we get to 197. Yeah. Let me know when we get to 34% of the way through 197. That's the real milestone.
That's the real number. That's how you know.
Sweet spot.
That's the sweet spot. That'll actually be like in the last half hour of a random episode.
Like, we did it! Hey! We made it! Project Almanac 2! We did it!
Did you say Project Almanac 2?
I did.
If that happens,
oh, we're doing it.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, if that happens, even if it's like straight to video, straight to VOD,
it's happening. It should go straight to DVD.
Yeah.
Straight to VHS.
Even though Blu-ray's out, they're not going to put on Blu-ray. It's going to go straight to VHS and DVD.
That will be enough. Yeah. So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Matt.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Matt has returned from our previous episode, so thanks for sticking around. Shameless plugs real quick. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate and review us, and we're available on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. Stop on by there. We post like different movie news and stuff throughout the week with our hopefully clever spin, and you can share a show, join the League of Show Shares.
Lots of love on
there.
That Facebook page this
week. We've been having a lot of traffic
if you
there.
Like pop culture, you know, like new trailers or, you know, behind the scenes stuff for big movies like Civil War, like the page and you'll get the updates.
Yeah, absolutely. So there it is for shameless plugs. We will jump into the movie proper.
Movie du jour.
Yeah.
So here we are, number 13 into this, and they are still cranking them out, and actually I think that they've upped their quality. I don't mean that to sound like, oh, those other movies are awful, but it's like,
why do you hate the other movies?
I know, golly.
Why do you hate Marvel movies?
I hate Marvel movies. I think they're awful.
Why have you hated the other 12
movies?
I've
watched all of them
in the last 2 weeks up to this point.
Am I right, though? Like, they've gotten, like, instead of it just being like the status quo, they've upped their game.
Watching
constantly.
It all almost back to back, like every other night, or having a split, half one night, half another night. I knew
you
right
sound
away.
Like a movie executive.
Yeah.
Let's split this movie into two.
I know. But having watched them all like in a row, fairly compressed, I knew again. I had always had said that Winter Soldier I thought was the best.
Yeah.
Now, I have people say, oh, Guardians is so fun. I'm like, yeah, it is. But I think the best movie that stands, like, even if you don't care about superheroes,
right,
like Winter Soldier is like a solid.
Still.
Good movie.
But that's awesome. I think the real test of a superhero movie is, will it work? It's like Westerns. Can you like it even if you don't like Westerns?
Yes. Right.
Can you like it even if you don't like superhero
movies?
And
that's why I think Iron Man 3 works, too.
I would agree.
Which is very polarizing. I've heard a lot of hate.
I'm a big fan of Iron Man 3.
Yeah. I love Iron Man 3, and a lot of people...
I like that better. That's the third time I've seen it.
Yeah.
I like it better even now.
Good. Okay. Because the thing is like, I know people say, well, I came to see an Iron Man movie.
Not
but
Tony
like,
Stark movie.
But I think the magic of it is that you go to see an Iron Man movie and you see a Tony Stark movie and it's that good.
Yeah.
Like that's where it sells.
I don't ever care about Iron Man in movies. I care about Tony Stark movies.
As soon as he puts the suit on,
he's not funny and witty anymore.
Right.
That's
I agree
and that's what I want to see. So
Right.
So they got rid of the boring Iron Man, and they gave us nothing but like funny, witty,
and you get
Tony Stark,
and you get a deluge of Iron Man at the very end.
Right. Yeah, that was more to appease the marketing so they can make toys.
Yeah, right.
We'll have a whole plethora of Iron Man toys.
Oh my gosh, how many different suits were in that?
Don't you worry, we've got 945. Is that what he says?
I think it was 45.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So yeah,
that was the only big thing.
Collect them all and trade with your friends.
That was my biggest complaint with that movie, even more so than Mandarin or anything else, was that Project House Party or whatever.
Yeah.
He does that at the very end. Like, why didn't you do that in the beginning when your mansion was getting attacked? If you had Protocol House Party or whatever. That was like
my
biggest problem.
I don't even
mind
the Mandarin. Like, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
Such a great, it was so good.
Trevor. It was such a great head fake.
And I don't think it's a head fake. I think they're gonna circle back around.
Yeah,
I think it's a double head fake. I think he is.
If they bring it back, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. It kind of makes sense, right? Where he kind of plays it off. He's like, I don't know, and you know.
But I also think, and I've said this on the air even, that the Russo brothers, I thought, had managed to get the most visceral, brutal action.
Yeah, I agree.
Of the movie, you know, when you see, and Joss Whedon, I mean, he's got a full, good, solid grasp of like sort of comic book setting. You know, like, you know, Avengers and the second one. I mean, there's moments where it's like lifted out of a page of a comic.
Well, like
book.
We've said before, like that scene when they're in Sokovia.
Absolutely.
And they're doing like the whole 360
totally.
Shot. Yeah,
the Russo brothers take it the opposite direction.
No, when they're in Sokovia and they're fighting off.
Yeah, the 3D scene when they're like
all the drones are jumping.
Yeah,
right?
All the Ultrons are attacking.
Oh, right. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
But in, you know, the Russo brothers, I mean, what they did is they bring a physicality to it that like, and I thought it in the first, you know, the first time I saw Winter Soldier and now this movie that is like, yeah, I'm kind of excited about them taking over the reins of the Avengers.
I kind of am, yeah. Well, and I also think that works for Captain America. So like,
yes,
that character is like the guy, the boots on the ground,
yep,
where he will punch you in the face and like, you know, he's also human.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure, he has super soldier strength, but he's also human. He doesn't have magic powers. His story is being grounded in reality.
He's got a mighty shield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That defies the laws of physics.
Yeah, so this one, we pick up kind of where we leave off in Avengers 2.
And the new Warriors are filming a reality TV show.
No, that's not this one. Okay. That's in the books. And I will say before we get started, I am thoroughly impressed with how they were able to take that story, the Civil War story, and take it and mold it and change
apply it to
apply it to their universe.
I agree.
Because they stripped it down just to the base idea.
They did.
And they took out all the...
Which, I mean, when you read that book, there's so many heroes and villains and there's so much going on. But yeah, they strip it down to the core and they make it work for them, which is what they did with Winter Soldier was the same thing. They stripped that movie down, that story down to its core and make it work for them.
Yeah.
So the Avengers are in...
Lagos.
Okay.
Lagos.
And there's a big, you know, they're fighting Crossbones, which that's Frank Grillo coming back, who I always thought would have made a great Punisher after watching, was it the Purge 2?
Yes.
Where he is Punisher.
He's going to be in like three new movies this summer. So
Frank Grillo? He's good. Like,
he's going to be a big action guy.
Yeah,
so you're going to see
He's
plenty.
Pretty awesome.
But he's trying to steal a biological weapon in Lagos.
Correct.
So that's why they're
and
there.
And so the Avengers are there, and you've got it's the Scarlet Witch, and you've got Cap. I don't think
Falcon.
It's Black Team Widow. Cap. It kind of Team Cap.
Yeah.
It's sort of
and Black Widow.
Right.
Yeah. It's a lean group.
It is. But it's like it's the street level Avengers.
Yeah.
I guess right.
They didn't
the
bring like the heavy hitters like Vision for some reason.
Yeah. No Vision, and then there's no Hulk.
Oh,
and
so it's like a Zack Snyder movie.
Exactly. No Vision whatsoever. I'm with you. That was good.
No, he's a Marvel character. They can't use Vision in Batman v Superman. Tom,
no Iron Man.
Makes sense.
No
yeah.
Iron
he
Man.
Was
no
the
Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah.
No Iron Man. No Hulk. No Thor. None of those heavy hitters. There's.
And
no...
I like how it makes sense why Hulk and Thor are not in this movie.
They're a little obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to think about it. At the end of Avengers 2, they weren't in the lineup.
No.
Right.
Yeah. They were.
So, I don't expect to see them.
But there's a reason. Right. I mean, if you think about it, look in the comics what fake Thor can do to a team.
Which is what I thought was going to happen. And it does.
You can't have a god
sort
just
of. kind of happens.
Eradicate everyone. Right. Like, yeah, it's not fair. Whose team, you know, yeah, so kills, I get it. You know,
he
in a
kills
Hulk,
a guy.
But they also, I mean, they also went like with like the undercover team.
Yes.
You know.
Which we'll get into later is yes. what I think is
going to. You mean the hats and sunglasses? That's the Marvel yeah. movie undercover.
Yeah.
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 Sunglasses yeah. and a baseball cap. Yeah.
There you go.
You're not built like a superhero, but when yeah. you put on a baseball hat and like, you know,
drive a VW bug.
VW bug.
As long as you're talking without making eye contact, no one will notice.
So here's the VW bug thing. I've seen movies with Tom before, and I don't really hear him react much. That VW scene laughed. Like, I got a laugh out of Tom.
Ooh. I don't even remember
where it's Falcon and Bucky and Cap.
The
and
they're thing in the bug. A little Volkswagen
and, like,
bug.
Bucky's in the back, and he's like, can you move your seat up?
Yeah, and he scoots over to the middle. Like, I'll show you.
I was like, we're going to be all right if Tom's getting laughs out of Tom.
The Russo brothers writing on Arrested Development and Community.
Right.
Did they direct Community?
They direct some episodes.
So, like, I mean, you've got that humor element where this is a very serious movie, but where, again, I'm just going to mention Batman v Superman, not that even it was well-written on the serious parts, you know, that was a serious movie lacking any good humor. Well, this movie was done really well seriously, but then those humor breaks are so good, you know.
But they never come at the expense of or undermine the
correct.
They
do not.
It's not
never,
wink, wink. We're making
a joke. It's not stupid jokes. It's not toilet jokes. It's smart.
What's most important, it's not one-liners. It's not fan service. It's character-driven. What makes it funny, and this is going to be about the highest praise I can pay comedy writing, is it reminds me of Barney Miller.
Wow.
And that
I love Barney Miller.
Like, I'm paying it high praise. The jokes on Barney Miller, and the reason that show still works to this day, is because they had very well established characters, and the humor came from watching those characters interact.
Yes.
And so they're like, well, how would Wojo act around, you know, Harris. Okay.
The characters stay true to the characters.
Yeah, and now let's pull Harris out and put in Dietrich. And what happens if you add Barney back in?
I'm not going to do an old-timey reference because I love this show.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a cop.
I was waiting for it.
And police officers will tell you when you ask them what's the most accurate depiction of police officers ever on television,
they will
almost always Cop Rock and then Barney Miller.
Yeah. I completely agree
because
with that.
Because it's all about paperwork and dealing with nut jobs.
That's all it is.
And
that's all we do.
But the humor in that show, like, it wasn't set up punch. They were like little tiny one act plays, and it was one set. And now obviously this isn't one set, but when there is humor, it's entirely character driven. It's funny because it's funny because that is how Spider-Man would interact with Iron Man. That is
so
how Ant-Man would perceive this moment. So the humor is very organic.
Yeah, and I think that's we've talked about Shane Black before. That is what he does. If you look at that trailer for The Nice Guys, that seems exactly the same. Where it's not like set up punch. It's this character interacting with this character and making that work.
Right.
And that's why I think that movie looks amazing.
Yeah.
So they're in Lagos. And it's a big fight scene, and it's teamwork.
It's showing that it establishes that they are a very tight-knit unit. They're all working together.
Correct.
Everyone has their part.
Right. And then there is, Crossbones has a bomb attached to him. And he sets it off. And I think that the Scarlet Witch kind of uses it. So the Scarlet Witch, her power set is completely unidentifiable. I don't know what she can do.
She doesn't know what she can do.
Yeah, so like
she's
in the comics, magical.
She's still learning.
In the comics, it's a magic thing.
It's a magic thing, but she can bend reality and she can kind of do all kinds of things. This one's kind of like a telekinesis.
Yeah, this is more like Jean Grey.
Yeah, right.
She's still kind of untested.
Figuring it out. Right. And she's still kind of dealing with the death of her brother from the last movie.
Yeah.
So like she throws the bomb. She contains the explosion and then she throws it and she ends up blowing up a building.
And, like, it makes sense that she doesn't know. It's not like she was like, okay, it's safe, let me let it go. Like, she didn't know how big of an explosion it would be. Like, watching it a second
time.
She's
a rookie, is
what it
is.
I can see how she went up and tried to contain it, and as it went up, it just went off.
Yeah.
Because,
right.
I mean, it's a huge explosion.
It was out of her router range.
She should have done. You know?
She should have passed the Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
right.
She should have thought about baseball.
That's it. Ta-da.
That's what it prevent is. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, that scene, you know, Cap immediately goes in. So, here's the... This is the last I'm going to bring up the Marvel movie, the DC movies. As soon as something happens, Captain America immediately goes into rescue mode.
Yeah.
Where he's like, get those people out. We got to get this contained. And it's just kind of like
fire and rescue.
It's almost like he doesn't realize they're extras.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, he's just kind of like, get them out.
None of these characters have names in the script. It doesn't matter if they die.
Right. No.
Just move on.
Let's get them. Let's save people. Which is
cut. New scene.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that Captain America is the Marvel Universe's Superman. I think the comparison usually goes Captain America,
the moral
Batman,
he's the
Thor,
Boy Scout
Superman.
Of,
right.
I mean, yeah.
So they are doing a better Superman movie without the character. Because like Captain America, he even says, he's like, I see a situation going south. I have to do something.
I can't help it.
You know, and I was like, that's, thank you. Like, you know, that's exactly what that character is.
And I think what I love most about these movies is that events matter. Right? Like they're still talking about what happened in New York.
Yeah, this is the culmination of all past events. Yeah. This is.
Yeah, and so it's not like, so, you know, when things happen in these DC movies, it's just like, yeah, that was really fun to watch, right? Here's something new.
Right.
Like, well, but wait, shouldn't that have any ramification on what's happening now? And it never does. And like, this movie, these movies, they have a history. And they, because they're being made in a totally different way. Like,
I agree.
Like, and it's almost the difference between color and black and white or talkies and silent films. Like,
yeah.
They're just, DC is just making an old model of movies. And these movies are being made like $200 million television shows.
Yep.
And they have a showrunner and they're like, here's the things you need to knock out in this movie to set up the next movie and then work within that framework.
Yeah.
And you're not a fancy pants artist. You're gun for hire. Right. This is what you're doing.
Sorry, Edgar Wright.
Yeah. What's that?
Edgar.
Yeah. And you're totally, and you're gonna, and you threw me off because I said sorry, but you're right.
Like, no,
what?
No,
what?
No,
right,
Edgar Wright and Ava DuVernay, and they're both like, they were like,
gotta go.
Yeah, like that's not what you're here to do. You want to make that movie? Well, here's the good news. You just made enough money off of this movie where you can afford to go make that movie.
Right.
But here's the downside. You ain't making it for us.
Nope.
So
we got our own thing.
So stop it.
Yeah,
and it happened with Whedon on Avengers. They're like, yeah, but Thor's got to go take a dip in this pool, and he's like, why? He's got to go take a dip in the pool.
But why?
Well, but I want to do the Hawkeye thing. Okay, you can do that, but he's got to go take a dip in the pool.
Yeah.
And they're all right.
We need 45 seconds of your movie. Make it happen.
Correct.
Yes. Your check cleared.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Go check the.
And that's what they're
doing.
That's
what happens. Yeah. So then,
and really, ultimately, they're applying the same. It's the same way you make, ironically enough, comic books.
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Like, it's like, yeah, we know you have your Superman issue all plotted out, but
we've got this bigger story.
But over
your
in Action
storyboard
Comics
is here.
Yeah.
Our storyboard goes all the way over there.
Yeah. But over in Action Comics, he's doing this other thing, so you got to make a reference to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
exactly, and that's one of the things I've never really liked about comics in my entire comic life is just like, you're telling this Geoff Johns, they had a really good run on Action, and then it gets broken up because you have some event going on that they want to tie it in.
Well,
and then
that's the problem with comics today is they have to do an event twice a year now.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean,
right.
To write the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta fix the mistake we made 6 months ago.
Well, there's another event. That's where alternate universes came in and alternate timelines.
Yep.
It is like, oh god,
here we go again.
So Earth 3.
Yeah.
So when this event goes down, you know, I want to point to the acting ability of Elizabeth Olsen.
She's great.
And Chris Evans.
Yeah.
When you see the look on their face and the distraught, and I mean, Elizabeth Olsen is acting. You can see how tormented she is and how horrible she feels. And it's just like acting in these movies. This is not just a dumb superhero movie.
No, it's a credit to Chris Evans because he's got that helmet on. So like, you've only got like from his nose down.
But his eyes.
Yeah, the whole thing.
The eyes and the mouth, you know, just like to see that. And it's great. And then so this event plus the culmination of
the
two Avengers movies brings them to,
I guess
we go to Tony Stark.
Yeah, we go to Tony Stark.
Yeah.
In a scene that was amazing.
Creepers.
Is it creepers, though? Or
it was creepers
just like,
because it was like, we saw it done, you know, when we saw Michael Douglas with the de-aging of Michael Douglas, it was like,
that was incredible.
Dang. And then when you see the de-aging
you see the less than zero version of Robert Downey Jr.
Like,
I really think
freaky.
He must have went back and studied how he behaved in those movies because he really captured his mannerisms in movies.
Yep.
Like I've been seeing bad movies for a long time. So if you see him in movies like Johnny Be Good, or
wow,
Back to School, which is not a bad movie, no. But just to be clear. But you
I
know, but,
about Johnny
but
Be
he
Good.
Made a lot of like movies like that, and like he was really like he was real kind of herky jerky,
yeah,
and like and not from
he was kind of yeah,
but not in a bad CGI kind of way, no. But like he was doing
no,
that.
They captured the look and the body language of him, where it was like freaky,
like that manic energy.
Yes, that's that's the great one. It was just like manic energy, where he's just like he had so much of it. He like
he's probably like, how did I act when I was coked up?
Now, but now, do you really think that that was him, or was it a body double that they put his face?
I'm sure it was a body double.
Because I mean, I don't think it was all CG, but he was obviously a very lean, young. You know, what I mean, his body didn't look like him. So I feel like that was a body double.
I think they used the CGI to slip him down, same way they did with Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, yeah,
when he was Steve Rogers. Just looks pre-serum.
So, just looks so good that I can't imagine that whole body being CGI.
Yeah, but which, I mean, we've already seen it in the first Avenger. Like, they shrunk him down.
Yeah,
and it never looked bad. It never looked bad.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, and then,
there were a couple times that were a little off.
Really? But that was new. Like, that was all new stuff that they were doing.
Well, I'm not...
And then you see Michael.
I mean, look at the
Michael
leaps and bounds, and I actually love Tron too. But look at the leaps and bounds between
Tron two.
I like
you're
Tron
talking
two.
About Tron.
Oh, Legacy. I do
Tron Legacy.
But I mean, you look at look at Jeff Bridges. to now,
right?
And it's
right.
Wow, it hasn't been that long.
Yeah, no. Jeff Bridges.
That was super creepy.
It's the Uncanny Valley.
Was that the last movie where he talked normal?
Yeah.
He changed.
Was that pre-stroke or whatever?
No, like that's the
it's
old
like the Dick Clark of actors. Yeah, of
the old
actors.
Jeff Bridges talks like that, but when they do like the young dub version, he doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Like that's the weird thing is like he does when you see
he emulated
Flint?
Himself in that.
It's Flint.
Did they hire Dave Coulier to do the voices?
What's his name?
A Clue.
Was it
Clue?
No. The main character, the real
Flint.
Guy.
Oh yeah,
Flint. So when you see the old version of Flint, he does sound like True Grit guy. But when you see Clue,
in any event, it looked amazing. It was on par with that Michael Douglas incredible.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting about it was they could have cheated, not made it look good, and used the excuse that what you were looking at was a
VR
projection.
Simulation.
Right.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I kind of there were some parts where I did think it was kind of off, but then when they showed that it was the VR thing, like it, I don't think it was as good as Michael Douglas. It was good, but I don't think it was as good. And then they showed it was a simulation. I'm like, okay, well then it's perfect.
Well, and this is also what's interesting about this is that they don't do this a lot in the Marvel universe, but they did it a lot in this movie, and it kind of was jarring at first that they bounce around in time. And they also bounce around in location.
They do
that. They have to use supers, and I was glad they did.
Yeah,
because I was
you
know, because we see the 1991 thing, and I called that as soon as I saw it. I was like, oh crap.
Yep. Yeah. As soon as you see, there's a
car accident.
You see a car accident. You see the Winter Soldier is responsible for the car accident.
Because we know that he's been like, they freeze him and bring him back out of the freezer.
Right.
They
hit him.
And you're like, this popsicle's good, but I'll save it for later.
There's your first Easter egg. If you listen to the words that the guy uses to trigger the Winter Soldier to go into,
to become the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Can't be a coincidence.
One of those words is homecoming.
Yeah. Right.
It has
to tie
in.
Three times.
That's a tie-in to the new Spider-Man.
That's
movie.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
It has
when
to
I
be.
Saw that, I'm like, there's no way that because okay, the word homecoming doesn't come up often. And
no.
This isn't a high school prom comedy,
right?
So it's like,
well, no, that prom is not homecoming, Kevin.
Well,
duh.
But it's
in the title.
We can tell who didn't date along high school. Everybody at this table.
So it's like, no, if they say homecoming, you know that has to be.
Right, right. Yeah. As soon as they say it, and I was so I don't think of it anything at first, but the fact that that word keeps coming up.
Oh, I did the first time they said it.
Yeah, because I leaned over to you and I was like, homecoming? Homecoming.
Yeah, why would a word be homecoming? Yeah.
He goes, should we be reading into that? And I was like, yes.
Now, this has to be the first time I've ever seen a Marvel movie start like this. It was jarring because, well, we were at a screening at first and there were no previews, but even if you had previews, it didn't go into like, and now Marvel Studios, blah, blah. It goes 1991.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, crap, the movie started.
Yeah, they went right
especially
into
without
it.
Previews. I was just like, oh, this is the movie. And so they do this little intro, which I thought was really cool. And then after
we
the car accident,
right.
then it goes, you know, dun, dun,
in a very,
Marvel.
In a very, like real world based, not cinematic car accident.
Right. No, like, right. Yeah. So the scene is you see like a Crown Vic driving down a dirt road, and the Winter Soldier comes up from behind it and just uses that metal arm and just smashes it. Like, just yeah. does it, you know, hits it on the
I
end.
I was wondering, like, did he shoot it?
No,
how did
he hits
it somehow. Okay.
And yeah. then it goes, you know, right into a tree, yeah, and yeah. then things go cool. from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we go to Steve is. They're at the Avengers mansion or the Avengers compound, and he's kind of sitting down with Scarlet with Wanda, and he's just kind of, you know, like, look.
Well, I think we have to we totally skipped over the whole simulation the part.
Tony Stark,
so the
right?
reason,
oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
he
I'm
was
sorry,
at
yeah.
MIT, and he shows the simulation, and the whole point is that it is a memory of his parents, the last time that he interacted with them, and he has kind of a nice interaction the way that he wishes it would have gone
yeah,
down because his
did.
Mom
you're
tells
led to
him,
believe that like it did not. Go that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, his mom says, you know, this is the last time you're going to see him, so you better say goodbye or whatever. And then at the time, you're like, what are you talking about? How
yeah.
would she know?
Yeah,
like, are they getting divorced? What's happening?
Yeah.
And then he pauses it, and he's like, yeah, I wish it would have happened this
well,
way.
What's his name walks in as Howard Stark, and he's just kind of like, I love you, Dad.
Yeah.
And that's how, and
right.
like, so what he's created is this way.
It's false reality.
False reality, but it's also a way to, like, fix. Like a,
to make
like
you
a,
feel
like a, ther-
make,
like a therapy session.
Yeah, it's like therapeutic. It's like
yeah.
it's
yeah.
a way to make you feel better about
a certain
bad
situation,
about bad moments in your
yeah.
life. That
right.
you can, even though you know they didn't really happen that way, you can experience them in a visceral level.
Correct.
That will help you,
which is
kind of mend
therapy.
That.
Of course, it's Tony Stark comes up with something like that.
But in yeah. this moment, like in the span of like 3 minutes, we see that.
Right.
We get this hint at something's awry with Pepper.
Correct.
Right. We learn.
Yeah,
that
we don't know
on
what's
break,
going on.
Yeah.
So
obviously,
like,
he's shaken.
Yeah, he's reading a teleprompter,
yeah.
and he's supposed to introduce Pepper Potts, and she's not there.
Yeah, and then he just
which that might be the best part of the movie.
Yeah,
I liked
Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm
that was
okay.
the best way of explaining her not being there than they did in the Avengers movies.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean, like especially the first one when they try oh. to we put Jane Foster on an island.
Yes,
so you don't have to see her.
That was the
yeah, that was terrible.
Pepper Potts has returned to her home planet.
Yeah,
and then the mom.
Well, this is the most important part. This is the entire reason for Iron Man.
Yeah, we see. Tony like getting just like it's sort of like there's psychological trauma just like layer after layer after layer
yeah.
starting to happen,
which they kind of referenced in Iron Man 3.
Yes,
where he's just kind of like I've went through a wormhole with
yeah.
an atomic warhead.
Yeah, he was a mess.
I did something. Oh, the old I created Ultron.
Yeah,
he
you know like
yeah.
I have all whoops I have all of this
my
mental
bad.
Baggage.
Yeah,
you know
he runs into a mom in the hallway.
Okay,
and her
so this
son
is out
died.
Of the, this is out of the books.
Yeah.
This is out of the comics.
Yeah.
There's a scene in the comics where there's an incident in a small town where a supervillain goes atomic and blows up a small town and kills all these kids. So there's a scene right out of Jaws where, you know, the scene in Jaws where
mm-hmm.
Sheriff Brody gets slapped by
little
the mom.
Little kicker boy.
Yeah, right. So what was the mom's name? Did they ever tell you what her name is? Is it Miriam?
It might be. Yeah.
Okay.
In Jaws? Or
yeah, in
Jaws.
Jaws. I don't know if they ever give that woman a first name.
Kidner.
Yeah.
Kidner.
So in this scene, there it's what's her name? She's an amazing actress.
Alfre Woodard?
Is that who it is? No, she's in Suicide Squad.
No.
Who's the one in Suicide Squad?
No, that's not. No, Alfre Woodard is not in Suicide
what
Squad.
Is this
but
one?
I think this was her. I thought it was Violet.
That's Suicide Squad.
Yes.
I thought it was
Alfre Woodard.
I thought it was Alfre Woodard.
Was it Alfre Woodard? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. There's confusion because she's going to be in the Luke Cage
She's
going to
yeah,
as a different character.
Yeah.
At first, I thought they were going to try to tie the two.
Yeah.
Right.
That
yeah.
is the confusing part. Yeah.
So she kind of shows Tony Stark a picture of her son who died in Sokovia.
This is
right out of the books where this woman walks up and she's like, this is my son, and kind of slaps him across
and
the face.
And I blame you.
Yeah. And this is where Tony has kind of his where it's like, maybe we're on the right path.
So this is,
here.
Yeah, well, so this sets the whole event of why Iron Man and Tony Stark, why he is on this side.
Correct.
Of the Civil War.
Correct.
Yeah,
so we go back to the Avengers Tower or the Avengers compound, and they're kind of, everybody's sitting around. And
Vision has
such a great,
yeah,
has a
so
great
weird
wardrobe.
To see him. And
Banana Republic.
When
Vision.
I saw that, I'm
so
like,
awesome.
So Vision walks around a sweater and a dress shirt.
He's really trying to fit in.
I really hope they make an action figure of that.
Yes.
with the vest on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did like where he walks in and they're just like, gah.
Yeah.
He's like,
Viz.
I didn't, like, why would you do that? He's like, well, the door was, I don't know.
Again, the humor.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, and they allude to their relationship.
A little bit. They hint around it. Yeah. They definitely, that's another thing from the books that's, they are together.
Yeah.
They were, they were, I think they got married and had kids. Yeah.
But then that kind of retconned the kids.
They retconned it out, and then they brought the kids back, and they're still around. I don't know.
So anyway, in this movie, so Tony Stark shows up, and he shows up with the Thunderbolt Ross, who is now Secretary of State.
Secretary of State, who has perfect hair.
Yeah, like, and has dialed down the scenery chewing a little bit since the last time we saw that character.
He's got like in the Incredible Hulk, which is where the Ed Norton version, he's got like that military cut.
Yeah.
Now he's got like that I'm retired from the military, so it's like it's longer.
He's a quarter inch longer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So he's really good in this.
He's great. Yeah. But he was good. I liked him in is chewing some scenery, but that's what that movie is. Like
So it kind of starts off, I like how he starts off friendly. He's talking about his golf game and how the best thing that ever happened was he had a heart attack because it put his like life in perspective.
Yeah.
Like he starts off very friendly telling this story. Then he's like,
remember that time I tried to kill my daughter in that movie? Yeah, I kind of got my life together after that.
So then he's like, okay, now watch these videos. And he's like, New York, Sokovia,
and they kind of, you know, that's the scene you get in the trailer where they show and like Scarlet Witch has a reaction. He's like, all right, Cap's like, all right, we got it.
And again, acting, you see Don Cheadle, you see their faces. They are, you can tell the Avengers, I mean, for as much good as they've done and as many lives as they've saved, even though like the numbers on the screen are like 26, I'm not saying that even one person should die, but you know, they've saved so many more, but you can tell how distraught they are about those 26.
Right.
They care.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it shows in the reactions. And again, kudos to their acting.
Yeah. This is where they lay down the superhuman registration. Act. Yeah. I don't remember what it's called in this one, but that's what it is.
And so
Sokovia Accords.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And so Tony Stark is there and they basically say, you're being kind of quiet. And he's like, cause I agree with this. And,
right.
And then he kind of tells him about that kid that he met the mom of earlier.
Well, also, you get all of these characters who you haven't seen interact yet. So you've got Rhodey and Falcon, who were both kind of like, you know,
military guys.
Well, they're both military guys, and one's Team Cap, and one is definitely Team Iron Man. So they have like these pretty cool interactions where he's just kind of like, I can't believe you'd go along with this.
Yeah.
And then Cap's point of view is like, look, I don't have a problem with it. But like, where do we draw the line where it's like, if there's a situation that we don't believe we should engage in and they tell us to, we have to go.
Yeah. Or what if we feel we should be somewhere else?
And we can't to go.
You know?
So like, it's a really, they give every character has their motivation. And
but,
all
but
of them
great
make
is,
sense.
And it's right. Informed, no one's wrong.
It's informed by their experiences.
Yeah.
So Tony Stark's are informed by his experiences. He is the only one that went through the wormhole. He does keep talking about
it.
Yeah. But, you know, and he's the only one who had that vision of the future.
Right.
Because of Scarlet Witch.
Right.
But then, you know, Cap has, you know, he's
been around a little bit.
Yeah. He was in Nazi Germany. World so II. He kind of remembers that.
Yeah.
It's still fresh.
See, I would. Surprised that they didn't make it tie into Winter Soldier a little bit better, where he would say, hey, last time I trusted the government, they're going to send up all these helicarriers and they're infiltrated by Hydra and we're going to kill everybody. So why should we trust you now?
Right. So that's the other subplot at this point is the Winter Soldier, Bucky, is still out there and they think that he is committing. He's still on the side of the devils.
Yeah,
he's still doing his.
Well, we don't know yet.
They're assuming. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah, we don't know at this point.
Taken off,
what
he's taken off. If you know, at the end of Winter Soldier, he's standing there in a like the case, looking at himself and looking at Captain America and all these people. So and then Cap gets a text, and it says, "She's gone in her sleep." And immediately I was like, "Who?"
That's
a big. So he go, you know, there's a and you know, Chris Evans, I don't think gets the credit he deserves for being a good actor. I talked about that scene. Is it in the Winter Soldier where he goes to see Peggy Carter?
Yeah.
Or is
yeah.
that in Avengers 2?
No, that was in Winter Soldier.
Okay, so like where she's, you know, they have the conversation and then she slips like into Alzheimer's and she sees him again for the first time. And just the way he plays that, like it's a gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's very similar where she's in London and she ends up, the love of his life dies. So like he kind of takes a break from the whole.
We also get he also finds out that his next door neighbor.
The next door neighbor, who was the agent who was assigned to protect him, is his the love of his life's
niece.
Great niece or niece?
Niece.
They just said niece, but it would have to be great
niece. Which
that's
was another
Sharon Carter.
Another good little where like she walks up, it's like they go to London, they have the thing, and
it kind of breaks the tension. A little bit.
It does a little bit.
Falcon's like, oh,
he's like, and even Steve Rogers is like, oh.
Oh. And what's cool is that, and then she gives the speech that Cap gives in the comic book.
Yes, correct. Right. Yeah. He gives, so there's a big
it's
speech.
It's such a good speech.
It's
what
actually,
says,
it's like, not in Civil War. It was in The Amazing Spider-Man by Straczynski, and he's talking to Peter. Like, because Peter at this point is on Iron Man's side, and he gives this speech to Peter, and it kind of makes him jump sides.
The cool thing is that Cap receives the speech this time, which gives his motivation for why he's going to choose to go the way he does. So I just thought that's awesome how the Russos, they love comic books. They love Spider-Man. Yeah. They've been reading
Spider-Man. I would say that Spider-Man, the Civil War tie-ins are in, if you haven't read them, I cannot recommend them enough. Like, that's some of the best Spider-Man
they
books.
They were on sale really cheap the other day on Kindle. If
they
you
were.
Have one.
And they're like $2.99
for graphic novels that collected like 7-8 issues
it's,
each.
The
yeah.
art's fantastic. Ron Garney is on art. J. Michael Straczynski from Babylon 5 is writing it. They were some of the best stuff that he was doing at that point. So then the funeral ends, and then Black Widow shows up, and she's like, are you going to do it? And he's like, you know, I'm not like, you know, right. I can't sign that.
Well, he could because he was on the fence. Though, right.
He was a little
until
bit.
He heard
he
the was. Speech,
but the
was
speech is one move.
Well, the speech was a little on the nose. I mean, it wasn't like he got a fortune cookie and it said, do not.
Yeah,
sign
right.
Me
right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It was a little like the speech was kind of like, oh,
but it's what made his decision up. Yeah, correct. Clearly. Yeah.
She's like, well, what are you going to do? And he was like, retire. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I thought this movie was going to do. I thought he was going to call it a day and take on a different role.
Yeah. Did he? I don't think he ever told her that he was going to retire.
Yeah, I think
I
he's
thought
like,
he just said, I'm not going to go along with that. I didn't remember
well,
him
she
ever
said, like, you know, what's your other option? And he was like, retire. Like, he definitely references, like, calling it a day as Cap.
Huh. I didn't get that, but.
Or he, you know, I was like, can he become Nomad? That'd be great.
Yeah.
So jump
to. The next
to
scene is the
United Nations.
The United Nations meeting.
This is where we see Prince T'Challa.
Is this in Germany? Where were they having that?
The United Nations.
But yeah,
you're right. It was overseas. It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't in the U.S.
Right. No. So I can't. I just can't remember the.
This is where
country,
they're all going to sign.
This is
they're going to announce
globe hopping.
Yeah, they did.
It almost didn't matter
trotting.
Where they were.
Berlin. I can't remember.
Well, it was Berlin.
It was Berlin.
Yeah. Okay. So this is what you know. To Prince T'Challa. This is our first look at the Black Panther.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, his alter ego.
T'Chaka.
King T'Chaka.
And then, so there's an interaction between Black Widow and T'Challa, the Prince of Wakanda. And he's just kind of like, is the captain going to be here? And she was like, yeah, I don't think so.
Can I just say right now, even from this first scene, before we see, quote unquote, the Black Panther in action, like, when does this movie come out?
Yeah.
Dude,
I know.
Not soon enough.
Amazing in
hands
this movie.
Down my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah,
I cannot wait.
But
for
just
that movie.
His
indifference to all these other things.
Yeah,
I thought was fascinating. Yeah. Like, like he's got a much more like he's got his area to work in,
right?
And focus on. And he's, I mean,
he didn't even care.
He's not like globally driven,
right?
And he's just like that's you know he as a king he's thinking about his. His people.
Right.
And he's a prince.
He
didn't
care about the Registration Act. He just cared about his home.
Yeah.
But from that first interaction with his dad and with Black Widow, I'm like, Chadwick Boseman,
the last time we saw him was Gods of Egypt.
And we you actually went and saw that?
Yeah, we did the show.
Oh, I got to go back and listen to that.
Don't watch it.
I'm not saying it was a good episode. I am saying it's better than the movie.
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah,
so
that was the last time we saw him. And he was just chewing it up.
Where else did he come from?
He was James Robinson.
He was
Jackie Robinson. Oh, the 42 movie.
And then he was
James Brown.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
So we knew he was a good actor. Yeah. But yeah, when we had to watch him in that, it's like the smart, like, he couldn't have been
he's
more.
Very fey,
swarmy. Yeah. Oh, it was just like,
and
it
we
was
were,
terrible.
Like, there was a moment where we were like, oh, crap.
Yeah. No.
And then he came out of this one and immediately was just.
But anyway, yeah. He, amazing.
No, everybody equally sucked in that movie.
Yeah, that's true. So they start the conference and there's a giant explosion. And then everybody, like, I don't remember where everybody like so Black Widow's in there and
she's
then,
in a seat.
Right. And then everybody else is kind of off doing their own thing.
The king's then, giving his speech.
Correct. The king of Wakanda is giving his speech.
And so he's closest to the windows.
Yeah.
And so
immediately T'Challa tries to save him. And unfortunately, he can't. So now he has become the king of Wakanda.
Yeah.
He takes the ring that is.
Yeah.
That,
the Black Panther ring is pretty much what that is.
Right.
And then there's video footage released of what looks to be Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier, planting the bomb.
As far as we know.
As far as we know.
It's him.
And now Steve is, like, he hasn't signed the act, so he is technically not allowed to be a superhero.
Right.
So Team Cap, none of Team Cap has signed the papers.
Right.
So,
but they're there along with him. Like Falcon's there.
Right. Falcon and Black Widow is there.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch has kind of been put under quarantine.
Well, yeah, he put her on house arrest. So yeah.
Tony Stark did. Tony Stark put her on house arrest.
But didn't really tell her.
Didn't tell her, right. Yeah, the Vision is kind of there, and they kind of have a really nice...
Because this scene was right before Berlin, because they cut to Berlin.
Right.
So the scene that we kind of find out that Vision is there trying to, like, be nice and cook her something.
Correct.
To make her feel at home.
Something like a home, like something from Sokovia, like a Sokovian meal.
Yeah.
And she even says, she's like, I'm not allowed to leave, am I? And he's like, it's for protection. And she was like, theirs or mine? And she was like, yours.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. He says that. He says it's not for your protection.
Right.
And then he knows that the world sees her as a monster, as a threat, because she was been watching all these news reports.
Right.
And they keep talking about her and what jurisdiction does she have. And, you know, Vision obviously knows people's motives and they're true. And he knows she's a good person, obviously. And he wants the world to see her as he does.
Right. And he immediately, his emotion sensors are you know, all over the place, and they kind of
he said that people are afraid of you, it's very bluntly the way he says it. It is sort of like, you know, he it's almost like Asperger's,
because kind
like
of,
he's speaking to her and it's like they can't help it.
Right.
And she's like, what? He goes, well, they're frightened of you.
And it's very computer like he's just talking like he's not, he doesn't.
But it's our first clue into, like, in the movie world of how he feels about her, because it's like that person I want, you know.
That speech, and it may have been before then, that was a good way of reminding people they have a connection, because he has a soul gem in his
correct.
Head.
Yeah. Correct.
Where she got her powers.
Right. Yes. Exactly. True, yeah.
So then, you know, Steve Rogers kind of says, let me do this. She pretty much says, you're going to bring him in, aren't you? I can't. He's like, you can't stop me. Like, I'm going to go. And this is where we see Sharon Carter again, and we realize who her allegiance is to. So they're in this bar, and it's Sam and Cap, and she kind of walks in and she was like, this is all we got.
And
I have orders to kill.
We're shooting on sight
and we're going right now, so you better hurry.
She's like, you've got like 12 hours, you've got a 12 hour head start. And he was like, okay, here we go. And there's a big, like, this is where and Bucky wasn't even, like, they end up finding him, but he was nowhere near Berlin. Like, when they find him, he was in a completely different part. And there's a big, you know, this is the chase scene that you've seen, is them, like, running down a highway.
And Cap says, like, just don't kill anybody.
Don't kill anybody. Right.
And Bucky says, I didn't kill him.
Yeah, right. He's like, I wasn't there. I didn't do that. But this
before even the chase scene, though, this was a cool action scene. This was awesome. When he's in the apartment and Cap and like, you don't know. We don't know as an audience yet if Bucky remembers him. And Cap, Cap's like, do you know who I am? He's like, you're Steve. I've seen
your pictures.
Yeah.
Do you know who I am?
But he's like, you're lying to me right now. And he says, they're coming for you. And so, you know.
Well, he's got Falcon. And the great scene with Red Wing, where he's got, like, if you know the books, Falcon has, like, a little falcon that kind of flies around with him.
Yeah.
And this one, it's just, like, a little robot that they call Red Wing that I thought was great. He's like, you've got 30 seconds, you've got 20 seconds, you've got 10 seconds. They're on the roof, they're coming in.
Yeah.
And this is where you see, like, their teamwork come into play.
This is cool.
And they're fighting off these guys together.
But great action sequences. And, you know, this is how
Cap is trying to sort of buffer some of the
he's going
to
kill some of these guys.
Damage. Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's like, I guess it's debatable that he's not going to kill him, but he's definitely, like,
he's
struggling.
Isn't that their scene
with people where he's somewhat on the same floor?
He's going to shoot a guy, and, like, Cap grabs his arm, puts his arm up, and
he throws
fires
a guy over.
He throws
Cap
a guy over the rail.
Up.
He catches him and slams him into a wall.
Which was
definitely
great. Like, there's a scene where he looks up and he was like,
"He goes, come on!"
Yeah, and he was like, "Whatever."
Yeah, that's the humor interjected, not in a cheap way, not in a you know, wink wink way, but it's so cleverly written and natural. It's just not a wink and nod, but it's fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, so I love that whole stairwell scene.
That was a good
scene. And visually, really cool. I mean, with Winter Soldier jumping over the railings.
Where he grabbed the railing and used it to swing down.
Yes,
awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then when he gets up over the rail, like, you see it bent up, like the way he grabbed it. Like, it just physically felt very realistic. Huh? And I will say, so I watched a lot of the, like, B-roll and the making of scenes. And this movie, the Russo brothers went a very, like, Mad Max route. Practical effects for everything they could do.
That's awesome.
You know, I mean, they do explosions. They do, you know, bullet squibs. They do, when we get into like the car chases, there's cars flipping. That's a real car. It's not CG. So like, there's a reason why these action sequences look so good and feel real.
It kind of reminded me a little bit about the Nolan Batman movies.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where Nolan did everything. Like, even a plane. Even lifting a plane up in the air like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Actual gravity. Yeah. You know, it makes a difference.
Hey, it feels real because it is.
There's a reason. They end up like they're running, and this is the first appearance of the Black Panther,
who's very spry.
He's very quick. He's very he's very Bruce Lee like. That whole scene where he stands up for the first time, like he does like a flip and he lands on the building and he stands up and immediately goes into a Bruce Lee stance. And like, there's a great fight sequence between the two of them,
Bucky and
I do take issue with how fast they're running.
Faster than cars. They are outrunning cars.
I have a problem with that. Like, they're not that
fast.
Well,
we know Cap can.
He did in First Avenger.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was busting through walls and running.
I remember that, in Winter Soldier when he was, like, lapping Sam.
I agree that he's fast. But
they're not on the freeway either. They're also like
that's fair.
I went back and researched it, and
because when we watched the Audi commercial, Kevin and I were talking about, I was like, I don't think a Cap is running faster than cars.
Yeah, and I went back and researched it, but in the comics, Cap can run up to 60 miles an hour.
So that adds up.
Yeah. Then
all right, he never does that.
No, the interesting thing about Black Panthers, they didn't want. Explain how he's strong, fast, agile, anything. They just said, you know, forget it.
Just run with it.
I appreciate it too.
We didn't have to have an origin of that. Yeah. I will get it.
I love that his suit's vibranium.
They said that. Is that suit made out of vibranium?
Well, we see him get shot.
Because on the rooftop, they shoot at him. And then they're bouncing off. Yeah, and I'm like, wait a minute.
He's just annoyed.
But it's like,
by the way, it's great how he looked annoyed even with a mask that completely covered his face.
No, it's incredible. Body language.
Yeah, that was fantastic. So they
drop down. They're on the rooftop. Then Cap does a big jump onto the rooftop, and then he chases them down to like street level, and that's where you get the big car chase.
They're chasing after each other, and then they end up actually everybody gets arrested. Here comes Rhodey.
War Machine.
Yeah,
and he says, "Congratulations, Cap. You're a criminal." Which was,
and I was like, "Ooh, fuck you, Rhodey."
Yeah, I know. Like, you want to be, but you're like,
"No, I don't. I don't."
He didn't sign the
whatever.
Yeah.
So they go back to the Avengers compound and they kind of take the wings and they take Cap's shield, which is something that happens in the books. Like he gets disillusioned with the government and it was like, I can't wear this symbol and hands him like there's a pretty cool scene where he like the shield is like cupped and inside the shield is his costume and just kind of hands that whole thing over. And that was kind of what happens in this.
That's how I quit Schnooks.
Is that, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. I put my pink vest and gray and pink polka dotted bow tie inside of a grocery bag.
Oh.
And hand it back, which that's the checker equivalent.
Correct.
Of inside you, of were the, like, you were the first Avenger.
It's like, yeah.
Kind of. I don't like to brag, but yeah.
That's pretty good. You know what? I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Again, another.
And I quit Schnooks and I put it in a bag. I put it in a Shop and Save bag.
Burn.
Wow. That's a sick burn.
That's a sick burn.
See, when
sick
I quit Schnooks, I just kept on walking.
Yeah. I was like, I'm kind of the same. I was just like, you know what? See ya.
Took all the paraphernalia with me.
That's how you get your last check.
Yeah, not in that day.
Well, I had worked there for like a long time. Yeah. So I quit. They paid me too much on accident one time. And I went to them and I said, you paid me too much money. This is like $300 too much. And they're like, it's probably back pay, like you got a raise. And I was like, nah, I don't have a raise coming. I'm maxed out. I've been here a long time. And I'm like this. And they're like, no, it's your money. And I was like, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to go buy like a giant crack rock and smoke it. Like, don't come back to me in a week and say you want this money back. Like, because I did the right thing. Yeah. I came to you. And they were like, no. Like, we called it to you. So the next week with my check, I get a letter saying you need to pay this money back or we're going to call legal. And I was like, eat a bag of dogs. I came to you and now you're not even coming back to me and saying, hey, we screwed up.
Right.
Like, you're saying you're going to turn me over to your legal department because you made an accounting error.
Good luck.
Yeah. I was like, set up the whole time.
And I was like, and so
you said the crack rock thing, I think that's what threw him off.
And so I was like, go to hell. And so I was like, well, I don't have it. I spent it. I told you I was going to spend it. You know,
I told you.
And, I was working part time at the point at that point at that time. That's weird to say at that point. And I was just like, I'm just screw this place. And so I, it was right up to the first of the year. And so the way they did your vacations is you got them all. Like, so I'd worked there for like 10 years. So I had like 3 weeks vacation. Nice. And I had like four personal days. So I was like,
your tenure was quite a bit longer than mine.
And so, and so I went to my boss and I was like, you know, I could really use the money right now. Could I just cash in all my vacation? Cause they would let you turn it into cash. Yeah. And they were, and she's like, yeah, sure. So I filled out all the paperwork and, put in the inner office envelope. And then when they, and then when they came and collected the inner office envelope, I hopped over the counter. I was like, you all can fuck off. I quit. And I turned around and walked out and I came back in the next week.
Here's your paycheck.
With my uniform and a Shop and Save bag and, put it on the counter. I was like, give me my last check. Yeah. And you, it's a grocery store. So they'll cash your check right there. Uh-huh. So you just sign your check, hand it over. And it was like almost $1,000, which you're talking $1996.
Money.
Oh, you could retire on that.
Yeah. $1996. Yeah, totally. You know how many acid wash jeans you can buy for that. And so, and so I took all the money. I was like,
I was like,
good luck getting your money back. And I turned and walked out. Never looked back. So
I went to, I applied at Blockbuster and I was like, I'm not coming in today.
Yeah.
I got a job over here. So so they all get arrested, and then this is where they kind of take Bucky, and they've got Bucky in like this the cell that Bucky is in.
Yeah, they've got
D23.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. I was like, D23.
Apparently, they try to sneak that in everything.
Oh, do they?
Somehow,
really?
Yeah.
So like it's like the Pixar A, whatever.
Yeah. So
and this is where they also introduce the other character.
Daniel Brühl.
Yeah.
You see Daniel Brühl, and he's...
Zemo.
They call him Zemo?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
They don't call him Baron.
They don't call him Baron.
I couldn't remember if they called him by the other
name. He forgot his hood.
Yeah, right.
I was kind of glad.
But at this point, he's posing as somebody else.
As a psychiatrist brought in to analyze Bucky. Yeah. So before we get to that, there is a whole scene
first
where he's listening to a voicemail, and you assume that it's his wife saying, come on, come home, and we're ready to see you. But he has, in the beginning, the Russian who is in charge of the Winter Soldier, who is a character from the comics, by the way. That is a real person. Not a real person, but like a character.
Right.
Yeah. Is reading from this notebook, and he's reading the words, the trigger words that turn him into the Winter Soldier. So Daniel Brühl's character, Zemo, has found this guy living in America in a great little scene where he like rear ends the car and he walks up to this guy's house and he's like, hey, I hit your car out here. Do you want me to curb?
Call the police?
The Clockwork Orange thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to call the cops. And he was like, no cops. And he comes in and he turns on him and he ends up torturing him.
Yep.
And he gets the book. And immediately you're like...
Gives him a bit of the old ultra violence.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. Where he like, he's hung upside down. He's turning the water on. He's doing whatever.
He gets the book. And he keeps asking about
1991.
Which is a date we know is the car.
Right. And we're just why? What is going on?
And that's where you keep... What is this 1991 significance?
It's a really smart move where it's like they don't hit you over the head but they keep referencing
it. It's like watching a Christopher Nolan movie where it's all in front of your eyes.
Yep.
And when you see it, you're like, oh my gosh, they've showed us. And even in the very beginning, when they show the 1991 and then you have the Lagos thing and you go to the Stark moment or whatever. It's like, man, it's all right there.
It's all there.
Oh, so do you think that was supposed to be a surprise? I thought that was...
I was totally surprised.
Oh, wow.
No, the first thing I thought, I leaned over at my brother-in-law and I'm like, I think that was the Stark.
Well, because, I didn't see it coming at all.
In Winter Soldier, they showed...
They do.
They said Starks killed by Hydra.
Yeah.
So I just assumed...
It was one of their hits.
It's one of those things where It's all there, and it just didn't play.
It was a moment for me.
Winter Soldier was kind of like the comedian in Watchmen, you know?
Yes.
It's like
he's always
behind
there.
A lot of the key
he's
events.
He's always there.
But that's cool. To me, though, it was an...
That's cool, though. I didn't even know it was supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah.
So it's all there.
I think I thought it could have been the Starks, because they do jump from like that when they show the thing, and then Tony, like, this is the last time we're going
to
see it.
I would have thought they drove a nicer car.
Yeah.
Maybe it was.
Well, also, for a guy that was deeply involved in government secrets, didn't he have any bodyguards at all? Not only that, but he had super soldier serum
super
in the trunk of his car.
No private plane.
That's pretty good. That's a good point.
So then he goes in.
We got to have it in the trunk because you need a concealed carry if you want to have it.
That's correct.
Exactly.
So Steve and Falcon are kind of sitting there and they're just kind of like, this doesn't make sense. Like, none of this, right. Like, he's been so good at keeping himself hidden this whole time. Why would he let himself get caught on camera?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Now. So Sharon Carter, like, they're all kind of having this discussion, and then Steve's like, unless they're trying to bring him out. And she was like, why would they try to bring him out? And he was like, to get him here. And she's like, well, why would we try to get him here? And then they realize, oh, no.
And then meanwhile, so there's like this FedEx-looking delivery truck that's delivering this device that we've seen in Zemo's hotel room.
Correct. And we don't know what it is.
And we don't know what it is. And you see him delivering it, and this guy opens up the crate.
Right.
And the thing sends out a pulse.
He looks at it like they keep cutting back and forth. And yeah. Zemo looks at his watch. And he just waits, and then all of a sudden, this EMP goes off.
And this whole power grid for
everything
Berlin
goes down.
Is...
So Zemo kind of stands up, and he starts reading the words. Yeah. And Bucky, and this is another great
and
scene.
And this is like the real from when, and Beetlejuice appears.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was such a strange...
I did not know it was going to be...
Candyman, too.
Yeah, I know it was going to be a shared universe like that. Like, it just
gonna
keeps expanding.
He's going to be in Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they're going to put him.
Beetlejuice Homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he goes Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's reading the words, and Bucky's like, stop.
He's trying to fight it off.
And so he breaks out of the like braces holding his arms down and breaks the glass open. But he says the last word, which it's just cool timing. Seeing it the second time, really, it's cool to watch how they do everything. And he says the last word, and boom, all of a sudden he says the same thing that he tells the Russian general in 91 before the mission, ready to comply.
Ready to comply.
Yeah.
And then so Sharon tells Cap, he's like, he's down in D23.
Yeah.
And they were like, see ya. And they take off. And then, so the entire time, T'Challa is sitting there and he sees them leave. And he was like, oh no. And he goes after him as well.
Yeah.
And this is where we get like, they're trying, there's a big fight. Where he is now the Winter Soldier again, the bad version.
Well, when they get down to him, there's bodies laying everywhere, and Daniel Brühl's character, Zemo, is laying on the ground like, help me, and then Cap is like not seeing right through.
He's
that.
Like,
he
absolutely
picks him up,
not.
What are you doing? And then Bucky comes out from side and starts fighting him all.
And and Bucky kind of takes off, and now, is this where we get...
He fights with Cap, and then he drops him down an elevator shaft.
Yeah. Does he hit him with an EMP, though, and knock him out? Like, how do we get from this scene to, like, his arm being stuck in the...
No,
vice?
That's after.
That's further
down.
Yeah,
no, I'm just trying to figure out, like, where did we go? So there's the big fight.
Because after this, he fights, I think Stark tries to take him on, puts the little gauntlet on.
Yeah, that's right.
Down there,
yeah.
Sharon Carter's fighting.
And then he gets to the helicopter, and then that's when Cap...
This is the whole scene. Okay, the helicopter jars
him.
This is where we go. Okay, so they get up. This is the scene that has gotten actually a lot of play on our Facebook page of Steve Rogers running across a helipad. And
really?
This is all real.
Chris Evans.
Yeah, this is all real. There's no CG in this. Like, he's grabbing onto one end of the helipad and the other end of a helicopter, and he's trying to, like, pull him back down, and then there's a big crash. And much like the scene in The Winter Soldier where Bucky pulls Cap out of the water, Cap pulls Bucky out of the water and ends up taking him, and they put him in that scene at the end of Avengers 2 where...
Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah, Ant-Man. Right, sorry.
Yeah.
I always forget that's in there.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah,
but I always forget it's.
But what's interesting is that it's a scene that's sort of like towards the middle of this movie versus like normally we get that at the beginning,
correct?
Or right before,
yeah,
right. And this is where it's pretty much revealed that Bucky remembers everything.
Yeah,
he remembers his mom's first
name. Your mom's
name
is Mary,
which is why they're best friends.
Right. Yeah. Right. Tom
leaned over me. He's like, tell me it's not Marvel.
When he says your name, when he says your mom's name is Martha.
You know what? If I had been Marvel, I would have ADR'd it and made it Martha, just be like,
change the whole history.
Well, there's funny because there's a line later where Cap is explaining to, I think, the Falcon about like why he can trust him. He knows everything. He knows where we grew up and my mother's name.
Right.
And Falcon's like, really? That's all it takes? And it's like, I was like, there's no way they could have added that after the fact, but I really wish that they did.
I bet they did.
I really? Feel like they I don't know. Does he really say that's all it
you
takes?
They call him back in. Like, look, you got to get in here now. We got to re-record the scene.
It was something like that. Like he openly mocks him.
Yeah, that's incredible.
For like being like, that's the reason that you're just going to trust him. Assume he's a good guy. Now.
Yeah. Correct.
Like that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah, he's amazing. Like, you used to wear newspapers in your shoes, and your mom's name was Mary. And then he was like, so what do we do now? And this is where Falcon's like, I got a guy.
Got a guy.
And we cut to that. So that scene's over. Then we cut to Tony Stark and they're just like, what do we do?
Yeah. Like, he's like, I got a guy.
And he was like, where's your guy at? And he was like, Queens. Oh, no, he doesn't say anything. It pops up.
And then it's the title.
And I was like,
I was so excited because this is like 45 minutes into the movie.
They starts playing the theme to Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah. But we're all like, where's Spider-Man? Where's Spider-Man? And, you know, it's been so good up into this, and you've kind of forgotten about it.
Oh, I didn't forget about it. I was let's get there.
But they show it, and you're like, yes. Yeah. Everyone in the theater even audibly does.
So did you catch that he's wearing, Peter Parker is wearing the same shirt that young Tony Stark is wearing?
No, he had pizzas on his shirt.
No. I'm almost positive it's the same shirt.
I saw it twice. No way.
Okay. Right.
He has pizzas on his shirt.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the symbol
Peter
was...
Peter Parker is wearing a pizza shirt. I don't know what it is, but he's got pizza slices on it. And
Oh, really?
Tony Stark had a white shirt with just something. It's not. It's not.
So this is where, you know, he walks... You only see him from the back of his head, and he's just kind of walking down the street.
He's got his DVD player.
Yeah. He's like something he found in like a...
Just salvaging parts. For
Right. And he walks in, and as soon as this kid walks in the door, he's Peter Parker.
Yeah,
like he is everything you wanted in that character. And he's just
I think my favorite part of this is when he starts to go into his backstory about how he became Spider-Man. He's and then when, you know, whatever happens.
Long story. Love it.
And like, he's just, you know, he's like, we're not going to bore you with this.
Correct.
Again. That
was another kind of like jab at Batman versus Superman, where we had to sit through, 12 minutes of Batman origin?
Yeah, right. We all know.
Yeah.
We know what happened.
No, that was great. But we see who's Aunt May sitting on the couch with?
Tony Stark.
Oh, it's Tony Stark again.
But he was, I did like the scene where he was like, I didn't expect her to be so attractive.
Yeah. Oh, the hot aunt quips he, multiple times in this movie. Yes. He, like,
it was very good.
And they're both like, you know, kind of trying to sending, you know, secret messages to Tony. Like, she's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And he's like, right, remember that thing you filled out? Right.
I know. Like the whole, the facial expressions where he's just kind of like
doing it.
Yeah. The scholarship that I applied for. Yeah.
So they go to Peter's room, and Tony basically shows him footage from YouTube, and Peter's like, yeah, you know, that's all computers, and, you know, he just sees through the BS, finds his costume, and he's like look, you know,
I did like that where he hits the vent and it pops out, and he immediately just runs right
so
past
fast
him,
throws it behind
throws
him
and,
yeah.
and he's just kind of like uh-huh
yeah yeah
he's like, but he's asking about the goggles, and I do
how
like
do you see through these?
That's actually a nice reference that they never really make, where he's like, whatever happened when the event happened to me, like, it heightened all my senses, so it like helps me focus.
Yeah, that was
which
cool.
They never reference, like, they never talk about like what, like, yeah, his spider sense is always on, you know, going off or whatever, but like one of the things I liked about the O2 movie is the first one is they explain how he can walk up walls.
Yeah, with
where, like,
the little,
he has like little
things
the tiny little things that come out of his. Like, I always thought that was cool. I was like, yeah, why not explain?
I like the organic web shooting.
I think that's so cool.
It makes sense because honestly, that's the most obvious feature of a spider, and he had to recreate it.
Right.
Like, so what made him think he was a spider?
But the only thing I don't like about it is it took all the science out of him.
Yeah,
that's fair. Like the fact that he was smart didn't come into play when he could just shoot the webs out of
which actually that's one of the things I did like about the 2000
Andrew Garfield
13.
They
kind of just straddled because he stole the webbing.
He cheated.
You know what I mean? He created the web
but
shooters.
In his room,
like, he did,
you did see all like his computer set up. Like it did show how smart he was.
I also liked in this one where like his computer was like an old ass Windows computer. Like,
it was a Mac. It was a Mac.
And he was just trying to piece together.
It just showed,
he
was a scavenger. Just like, they don't have money.
That they don't have money.
Yeah,
he's a dumpster diver.
Yeah, and he's just trying to piece things together.
So Tony Stark says, "Do you have a passport?" And he's like, "No." And he's like, "Oh, okay. We'll get you one."
He's
whatever.
Like, I have a test tomorrow. I
and
can't leave.
Tony Stark's like, "No, just no."
And that's like this kid. You know, I've said before, Tobey Maguire was 25. 26 playing an 18-year-old.
They chachied him a little bit.
And then Andrew Garfield was at least 30.
No, he was 28 or whatever.
Was
but
he really?
But they tried
he was 28.
But he
playing a 16-year-old.
Younger. Like,
he seemed younger to me.
He played younger than, better than Toby.
He's a Brit.
But
they
then there's this kid who is 22, 23? Oh,
this kid is a kid.
Yeah, and he looks like a kid.
And he looks
like
a kid.
No, he's 20 or 21. Yeah.
Oh, so he's
very, but he's very baby face.
He's on the young side, so like where the gap is very small.
Where was
here.
He from? What did he do before this? I feel like
he
did something.
Like a gymnast.
He played, was he in the Tank movie?
He came from Broadway. He played Billy Elliot.
Yes, he was brilliant. Billy Elliot in the British Broadway, whatever.
So very, yeah. So he's already very athletic.
So the Hugh Jackman, this guy, he's just on Broadway and out of nowhere now.
Well, he posted, like, he had been posting videos.
But he's a gymnast
on like Instagram of him doing parkour, and I was like, all right, kid, like, let's do it.
Yeah, and he's young. I mean, he is ish. I mean, they are playing him
Spider-Man for a while.
He was also, if you ever saw the movie The Impossible, it's like the typhoon movie.
Okay.
That movie is so underrated, but he was one of the kids in that movie.
He's amazing.
But that movie should have been a huge awards film. Like, it is
Ewan McGregor, Naomi Watts.
So good.
The typhoon one. Okay.
Yeah, where they get, and the family gets separated and they have to get back together. It took some heat because I guess in real life the family was like Spanish and they whitewashed it. But it was like, but they didn't want to make a Spanish language movie. And so, I don't know. But
the story's the same.
But the story is essentially the same. But it's
I need to check that out. I know you talked about it. You guys both talked about it.
It's a really good movie. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is like they're playing the long game with him.
Yeah.
And he's going to, I think, given, I was worried just given what's happened with Spider-Man before.
Well, that's why they were also worried with what's happened with Spider-Man before, which is why they brokered a deal where they basically said, we want the creative control.
And we're going to take it.
And he's 19.
That's perfect. Yeah, so he's playing a 16-year-old.
So we want creative control. Kevin Feige, he will work for free.
Yep.
You let us we want to use the character as we need it. You let us dictate the creative, you know, direction of this character.
Yep.
And you can make the profit.
You'll make everything off of it.
So basically, we will give you the movie. You take the money.
Correct.
But we want
it. But we want it.
Yes.
And that's what they're going to get. Spider-Man Homecoming, Sony has no creative control over it. That's all Marvel. Sony's just going to put their name on it
and make the money.
And Marvel's like, don't care.
They don't get all the money, do they?
I think they get a lot.
Yeah, Feige gets no salary.
Feige took no salary for this whatsoever, just to get it back.
I'm sure Marvel's going to make some profits
Marvel's
off of it. But Sony gets to just collect money from doing nothing.
I'm sure Marvel might get a little bit, but Sony's also going to make.
They get all the. I mean, the merchandising is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Marvel. And so before we go, I just, you know, we know that the Inhumans aren't happening. I think they've got a deal in place to get the Fantastic Four back.
I've said from the get-go,
that's 1960s,
that
Fantastic Four
that
movie.
That Fox was waiting to see how Spider-Man played out, and if it played out well, you were going to see Fantastic Four move over to the MCU.
Here's a question. So we know that Hugh Jackman is coming up, right? There's his last Wolverine movie will be Old Man Logan, Wolverine 3.
Yeah.
If they recast, do you think Marvel says, look, let us have Wolverine and we'll get it squared away. We'll get him cast. We'll get his character set. And then you can have him.
I just don't know. Those movies make money.
But if you lose your Wolverine, like, the draw to that is Hugh Jackman. Mm. Like, Hugh Jackman has been Wolverine for 16 years.
Yeah, I just don't know what that's the draw. Like, I think the character.
But he's the FDR of superheroes there's like three generations of people that don't remember anyone else.
I agree. Right? In a weird way, you're right.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm wondering
it's the only way I'll ever be right.
In a weird way.
Just to be clear.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering if there's a, you know, because the Russos have said, we want him. We would love to put Wolverine in these movies.
Well, I think
do they really need him, though?
Why wouldn't you take him? Like, add another $1 billion to your movie. If you tell me that Captain America, Wolverine, Spider-Man, the Hulk, Black Widow, Thor are all going to be in the same movie, but just take my money. Yeah. Take all my
money.
Take more of my money.
I don't know.
It's a little much.
They've taken it 14 times.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? Before I said, do you really need Spider-Man? And already they're proving that wrong.
I don't know. I think if Fox recasts someone like Scott Eastwood as Wolverine or whatever,
it'd be a good one.
I think that I'll be fine.
I think Scott Eastwood would be fantastic.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Look at that dude. And,
He's short enough. Like, he's not tall.
I thought he was pretty tall.
He's not tall, but he's not short. So he's like right in that range.
And we're kind of past the short Wolverine.
Right. Well, nobody cares.
Yeah. Right. But if you look online, there's a picture of him
smoking a cigar
with like a big beard, or mutton chop, smoking a cigar with like longer hair.
Yeah.
And he looks, dude.
How about they give the job to Doug Ray Scott?
Since he had it and lost, how bad does that guy feel? He was in the bar right now.
He's going, you know what? That could have been me.
I was in the worst of the Mission Impossible movies.
He was telling
me that dude's not Wolverine.
Yeah, I can see
absolutely.
It. Yeah.
That
yeah.
dude's absolutely Wolverine. Yeah. Unless he's Dick Grayson, and then he's never going to get out of that to save his life.
So I think every actor in Hollywood has to be running for the door from a DC movie.
Wait a minute. So is he in Suicide Squad?
He's somebody in Suicide Squad. Okay. We don't know who he is yet. I think he's either Slade Wilson or he's Dick Grayson. It's one of those two. So let's get
to the money shot. The airport scene. Yeah, this is like 15 minutes.
Yeah, we're cruising.
Yeah, we got it.
Just amazing. This is what you've come to
this
see.
This is it.
And this is where you get every.
We forget about the introduction of Scott Lang.
Well, then this is where it is. So, an amazing interaction.
He's like, "Do you have any coffee?" Or no. Yeah. But we also have. We forgot to mention that Hawkeye shows back up.
He breaks Wanda out.
Which is nice. You know what? They talk about all this Netflix stuff, like, and Jeremy Renner is like, I would love to do a Hawkeye series. After seeing, like, he's done such a great job and hasn't had a lot of screen time.
They've grown the
character. I'll take a Hawkeye series like that.
And
would
I think
be
they
so
grow
much fun.
Like I think Joss Whedon, you know, kind of did him some service by expanding his role.
In that last one,
I had no interest in a Hawkeye movie until the last
Avengers.
They brought up. I don't have an interest in a Hawkeye movie. I have an interest in a Hawkeye series.
Yeah. Well.
TV show. Either or. But you know what I'm saying? Just
Anything with solo Hawkeye. So he breaks. So now we've got Team Cap. We've got Falcon, Cap, Bucky, and Scarlet Witch, and Ant-Man, and who am I missing?
Well, Black Panther is
Kind of on his own. Yeah. Like
but Black Panther's pretty much on Iron Man.
Pretty much. Yeah. He does flip when something is revealed.
So it ends up.
So they march out. They all march out to the airfield.
Right. Cap walks out first, and like he's on his own, and like this is where Iron Man kind of lands, and he was like, "Let's not do this. Like, don't."
I have 36
Stark
hours.
Stark has been trying
to
bring him in, without incident. Keeps trying to like sway him,
and he almost has him at one point.
Almost,
yeah. And then he finds out that he's had Wanda under lock and key,
and
he was like, "Come on!" Like every time, he's like, "Every time you start to get a little bit of goodwill, you do something like this."
Yeah.
So basically, Iron Man says, "This is it. Help me out here. Like, I've got to bring you in." Yeah. And it basically comes down to we're gonna have to bring you in one way or another. So let's just do this the nice way. And that doesn't work out. Cap's like, "It's not happening.
This isn't happening."
Yeah. So then we get each teammate comes out one by one. You see them all kind of and then when they were gonna start singing.
Songs from West Side Story.
But then finally Iron Man's like, "Screw this. This
He's
isn't
like,
working.
Under ruse."
And then it's the scene you see from the trailer, and just an amazing introduction to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Spider-Man is so starstruck and such awe.
I love how they play.
He salutes him. That was one of my favorite parts where he's like, Cap.
Yeah. And it just his portrayal of Spider-Man, Tom Holland, is amazing in this.
Pun intended.
The writing, he's spectacular even.
Sensational.
The writing is unbelievable in this for him, and they couldn't have done it better.
No, he was great. And
so
then, this is a great fight scene.
Great scene
goes off.
Yeah, IMAX. It's really cool if you see it in IMAX.
Saw it in IMAX, didn't we?
No, but
we saw it at the Galaxy.
We saw the Galaxy,
Which isn't an IMAX screen.
It's not.
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's a mega screen.
Oh. It's just a big screen. No, okay. So if you see this in IMAX, it is. I think it might be the only thing they filmed in IMAX. So they expand it to the full IMAX format. It's amazing. Watch, and this is the Avengers scene we wished and hoped for. Like, this is the best way ever. Now, again, I know Joss Whedon was first and he did an awesome job. Uh-huh. This is the best Avengers scene we've ever
seen. The problem that a first
and
Avengers
it just
movie
goes on and on, and I
and
don't mean that in a bad way.
In the best possible
way. And even though Lego and Funko both kind of let the cat out of the bag, I kind of ignored it. I'm like, I don't think they're going to do that.
They wouldn't. I didn't think they would do
the one thing that I was like, wow.
So I went out and bought.
They full-blown did Giant Man.
When they said that Ant-Man was in this movie, I went out and there's an Avengers cover where Ant-Man is holding on to the front of one of Hawkeye's arrows.
Yeah, that's straight out of the
comic. So I went out and bought that, and I'm glad that I did.
Yeah.
Because
it's
soon
a great
as
moment.
That cover has blown up.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to get now.
Yeah. And I love how in this fight, everyone kind of fights their equal. So, you know, it's like the human, like Hawkeye.
And everybody gets a standout moment.
But they all kind of interact. I mean, Spider-Man fights at least four different
people. No, they all do mix and match, but they start off fighting their kind of equal. Like, it's all very, like, one-on-one line
up. Sam and Falcon.
And then, then it just all goes nuts. And the interaction, Spider-Man with Bucky and Falcon,
is so
incredible.
Good.
Where he
catches that hand and he was like, oh, you have a metal arm? That's so
cool. Which wasn't ruined, but was still great.
So I will say, I watched nothing.
Yeah.
I stayed away from everything, so I didn't want to know anything about it. So when that scene happens, I was like,
But like all his interactions with those two and Spider-Man is just overpowering them and using the webs, and their interaction's great. And then
finally, he doesn't stop talking.
No, and then
Falcon
goes,
great line.
Have you never been in a fight before? Because it's usually not this
much talking.
And then he finally, like, Spider-Man has got Bucky and Falcon webbed up, but then Falcon sends the little
Red Wing
and sends Spider-Man out the window, and he's like, and you hear like almost like a Wilhelm scream, like a fading scream. So funny.
Those two guys have a obviously. So Bucky is Captain America's best friend from back in the day, and then Falcon is his best friend today, so like they have this,
there's a bit of a
little animosity. Bit of animosity between the
and
two.
Bucky says, couldn't you have done that earlier? And he goes, and Falcon says, I hate you. And it's just
that was good. That was so good.
They all end up meeting back up at the airfield, and they do another like one-on-one, like facing each other, West Side Story style,
and they kind of say like, "There's a Quinjet. Their Quinjet's over here, so we got to get to it." And this is the turn that I thought was going
to
happen.
Bucky. Oh, Falcon says that for us to win this battle, some of us are going to have to lose it.
We're going to have to get caught.
So Cap and Bucky go to the jet, just barely escaping because Wanda holds this rubble. Vision crashes a tower. She holds it up.
Yeah, Vision really no care for anybody around that airfield.
Yeah,
that's Man of Steel style.
Well, at least the airfield was deserted.
That's true. They didn't tell us though, so maybe it was.
No, they did.
I know. They're evacuating. So now, so they barely make it, and then you see Black Widow come, and she
does the turn that I
she
thought
goes, I'm
going to
regret this, and it looks like she's going to take Cap out or stun him with her taser, but then Black Panther's behind,
and she turns, and like takes it, and of course she was on. You know, they put her and Captain America together a lot. There's also a scene. There was another Easter egg where she's fighting the Winter Soldier, and she was like, Bucky, it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is an obvious reference.
From the comics. And
from the comics and
their time together.
Yeah.
They both were.
Well, they like went with Natasha's time in the Red Room.
Yeah.
Like they've obviously worked together. And then in the Winter Soldier comic by Brubaker and Bruce Geitch, they are a couple.
They have a history.
They're a romantic couple for a long time. So like when she says that, and I was like,
they've at least been on missions together. Which is cool.
Which was a nice little plug.
So they escape, and then Iron Patriot
just War Machine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So War Machine goes after them. Falcon is chasing War Machine.
Right.
And then War Machine calls on his little communication device, calls for Vision. He says, hey,
let's go,
help me out here. So he calls for it. Vision sends out a blast.
And Falcon dodges it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't blame Falcon for not wanting to get blown to smithereens.
No, it's not
really like he did a jerk move.
No.
And then
As soon as he sees Rhodey
taking a ride, to save him.
He doesn't fly away. He goes.
He and Iron Man are both neck and neck trying to catch
him.
Never
do these people want to kill each other.
Right.
They are doing everything they can to subdue each other.
Yeah.
I mean, even Black Panther, who doesn't know Hawkeye, he beats him on the ground and then kind of runs away. Like, no one's trying to kill each other.
But by the way, can I go back just a little bit before that?
Yeah.
That scene with Giant Man got the biggest pop in the audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I've got a thing. He's like, it could either tear me apart or...
I did it once in a lab.
I've done it before in a lab. And I passed out.
When that happened and then, you know, Spider-Man just goes, holy... That was basically the audience surrogate.
It
was incredible.
There was also
I really didn't think they were going to go there.
There was a great
That's another one of those moments where they like... Marvel at this point can do that,
right?
But you know, 10 movies ago, everybody had been like, "Come on,
yeah."
But at this point, it's like, "Yeah, okay,
all right." The Giant Man.
There was also the reference to Empire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which was great.
Yeah.
These guys. That really old movie, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, Tony, how old is this kid?
So,
but apparently, they reference that in all of their stuff.
What, Empire Strikes
Empire,
Back?
Yeah.
Or just Star Wars in general?
Empire Strikes Back, because like people keep losing their right hands. Yeah. Like, that's a thing. Yeah. It's like people getting their hands cut off.
Yeah.
And it's all a reference. It's all on purpose.
Yeah.
And it's all like a reference
the
to
Marvel
Empire.
Movies do or the Russo Brothers?
The Marvel movies do. Like, I think Claw loses his hand in.
That's right.
And then I think somebody else loses.
I mean,
like,
it's hard to say, but.
Yeah.
They've said.
Pepper Potts is Tony Stark's sister.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They've said it's a definite reference to the Empire.
Yeah.
So they end up everybody gets caught. Bucky and Cap get away. And then.
But Rhodey falls to the ground. Falcon's on one side, Iron Man's on the other. You think they're going to save him.
Yeah, but they don't.
And I thought Falcon was going to save him or something, you know, because I'm like, oh, he's going to come back and rescue him.
And instead of the traditional sort of like big cinematic moment, it's just like, boom. He hits and you're just like.
It's zoomed out. It's cool because they're both coming from different angles, but they can't get there in time.
Right, right.
And that's a real touching moment.
That's a theme that they've had this entire movie is like, we can't save everyone.
Yeah.
And this is one of those
instances. I'm glad because, you know, and again, not that I don't like Rhodey or anything, but I'm glad they showed collateral damage because you cannot have this many people and this much destruction and have everybody just get away. There's no sense of danger if they do that, you know? And there's already such little sense of danger with a comic book movie franchise that's going to keep going.
I think also with him being wounded instead of dead, it's a constant in-your-face reminder to Tony Stark.
Well, that's also true. And it's also like he's mad. There's that scene. Like, to me, this kind of cemented Tony as one of the villains of this movie. Where, like, Sam's like, oh, like, I'm so sorry. And then he hits him with a blaster for no reason. Yeah. And I was like, your guy, like, your buddy is the one that told the Vision to shoot.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't, like, Sam didn't do anything.
Stark's rage has taken over.
This is where,
by the way, I don't. You said you avoided all the trailers.
I did.
All the trailers edited scenes together to make it look like Winter Soldier
they did.
Shot him down.
He was my friend.
They did scenes of Winter Soldier shooting, and then they showed,
which was actually clever.
It's a nice bait and switch.
Because they did. They totally bait and switch a lot of this movie.
Yes, they did.
Because then they would follow that with the sequence of later, Steve Rogers walking with Peggy Carter's casket.
Right.
So you think,
is somebody dead? Who's
it was
dead?
Good. Yeah, you didn't feel like I'd seen the whole movie.
They conned everybody.
Yeah, I thought that
which I was kind of glad to see
the event that leads to the Sokovia Accords was Rhodey dying.
Yeah,
like that's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So they end up getting away.
They get to their destination, which is the training facility. So meanwhile, so we think that the villain of this movie is Zemo, and his whole master plan is to activate the other Winter Soldiers. That's
correct.
Because we're like, what is Zemo trying to do? So that's what we figured out. Because it's like, what is he doing? Right.
So it turns out that Zemo is there.
They show Winter Soldiers.
All of the Winter Soldiers are dead.
They're dead. Everybody's so you're like,
well,
dead.
I mean, at this point, Stark actually does find out that...
Stark puts it together.
Well, he puts it together, and he realizes that, there's, like, prosthetics of, like, Bucky Barnes, and he's like,
Iron Man starts kind of believing Cap's story.
Yeah, he's with Cap.
Actually, he only puts it together because Zemo kind of...
He left it out there for them to find. It's all part of his plan. As we find out, this is like a Chris Nolan movie where it's like, it is the long con. He did say he wanted to crumble an empire from the inside out, but we hadn't, like, they didn't really explain that the Empire is the Avengers.
Again, this is a Nolan movie type screenplay where it's all there, and I thought this was one of the coolest villain acts in a Marvel, like a superhero movie. Zemo's plan, the way he did it, brilliant.
Well, because he doesn't end up being the megalomaniac mustache twirling.
No, he's not trying to take over the world at all. Yeah. It doesn't.
That's what's so great about this movie. There is no I'm trying to take over the world plan
I just
at all.
I want to be
motivation it too
is,
many times.
Is revenge.
Ultron.
Yeah, revenge.
And only his motivation.
The scene where they get there, and I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but the scene where they get there and they find the super soldiers and they all have bullets in their heads. Okay. I was like, oh, wow. That's wild. I didn't expect
that. What's happening to
this? Great. And so you finally
Here's it, like, you have at this point, you've got Tony shows up because he realizes that, like, all of the Avengers are locked up, like they're in cages, and he realizes he's in the wrong. So you've got Tony
goes off the
boat. He didn't seem all that broken up about it though, the scene
where he's like, he ends up talking
he's
to
still Sam.
Oh, he did take out the security though,
so I think he realizes he was wrong.
Well, that's why he does this off the books,
right?
Yeah.
So you've got Tony, and they have, like, him and Steve have another interaction where he's just kind of like, you're right. I was wrong. Let's do this together.
Right.
And you're like, all right, we're back on the same page. Yeah, like we're going to do the Avengers thing. And then they show the video from 1991.
Well, first it's like you see Zemo and Cap's trying to break the window, and he's like, you can't get to me in here. This is meant for a nuclear blast, whatever. And then he's like, well, what are you doing here? You know,
why are you here? And
yeah,
he starts playing the video.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the Winter Soldier killed the Starks.
It was security footage. And this was the moment for me, because I didn't put it together, and I was just like, oh my gosh, again, another brilliant like writing, you know. And I just keep thinking of like Nolan, because like these are like a prestige moment. Like he's the kind of guy that does
that. Was an moment,
right?
When that happened, I was like, what?
So yeah, so I mean, he unveils that, and then Tony goes into rage monster,
and you don't blame him.
No, and he goes, he killed my mom.
Well, right,
he killed my mom and dad.
He killed Martha.
Footage.
He killed Martha.
It's actual footage of his parents being killed.
Yeah, like he snaps his dad's neck and chokes his mom out.
It was more seeing his mom getting killed, because I don't think he had any love loss.
Yeah,
that's
probably true.
Yeah,
but I choked. I don't think you want to see him
die.
Yeah, you don't want to see your dad, you know.
But yeah, Cap.
Which is actually, that was another great scene.
And he's also,
he looks up. And he was like Sergeant Barnes.
Yes.
And then like he kills him.
Yeah.
Because you forget that like, it was Dominic Monaghan.
He was part of that project.
Right. He was totally there the entire time. So of course he would know who Bucky was.
Of course.
Yeah. Which I thought was great. Like it was a great callback. It's actually... The callbacks are so subtle.
And it shows you the people that are writing this have read... what comes before.
Exactly.
Right. They actually say they remember the continuity.
Right.
Yes.
And
then there's no how holes. Important that is.
There's no holes.
More so than the people that write the comics do. I mean,
So there's a lot less continuity. They only got 13 issues of this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Their housekeeping's good.
Right. So you get another touching moment between Cap and Tony Stark where you're just like,
this is the thing. This is
like, did you know?
The trailer. Oh, yeah.
Did you know? And Cap's like, listen, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, did you know?
Well, we find out that he knew when Winter Soldier, like he knew in when they're down there talking to
Arnim Zola.
Like
he spills it out. Then.
He does, a little bit. And he kind of kept it a secret.
So yeah. So then Cap goes yes, and then this is a moment where he just
game
goes
on.
Nuts. And then he goes, and Cap's like, no, listen, he wasn't himself. He was under their control.
No.
And then he just goes, I don't care. He killed my mom.
Right.
And he's just doing everything he can to take.
This is
Winter
the scene
Soldier
where he's
out.
Like, you know, he's my friend. He was like, I thought I was your, you know.
Yeah. So they both fight. You know, you get the cool, like, Bucky and Cap versus
That was
Iron
an
Man.
Awesome little scene where they're, like, they're flipping the shield back and forth, and they're kicking the crap out
Man,
of him.
Man, it's a cool fight scene. Again, these guys know action.
By the way, and I could be wrong. You've seen it twice.
Yeah.
But the whole scene, he's my friend, and then he goes, so was I. Wasn't that a different take than what they used in the commercials?
Yes, they
made it. In the commercials, it was a little bit more... You know, like,
heartfelt.
Yeah. So was I. And this one, it was like, no, I'm pissed.
No,
you know?
They did a different take for this.
Okay.
Yeah, it definitely, like, they kind of cut it up, and it was all around the War Machine, like, him holding War Machine.
Right.
Yeah, they conned everybody, which I was glad.
Which
was
good. That's good.
You don't
want to
see the whole movie in the trailer.
They didn't
exactly.
really ruin the movie.
So they do that whole thing, and basically Cap is... Iron Man's beating the crap out of Cap, but then Cap gets the upper hand, and I was like, oh my god, is he gonna kill Tony Stark? Like, it is like an
another callback to the first Avenger where he's like, just give up, and he stands up and he's in the exact same fighting stance. He's like, I can do this all
day. That was cool. And Iron Man uses his blast to blow Bucky's metal arm off,
right,
so he's defenseless basically at this point.
He disarmed him.
And then at this point Cap gets the upper hand, and he's beating the crap out of Iron Man, and
he takes the shield
over his head, and I'm just like, oh
but
my
he's not going to kill him, because in Iron Man 3 he takes that whole thing out of his chest.
Not what I'm talking about. I thought he was going to behead him.
But if somebody hadn't seen Iron Man 3 and forgotten that he doesn't have the arc, it looked like I'm going to kill you.
And Captain America has done that before. He chopped off Baron Blood's head.
But he was a vampire.
He was a vampire.
But
I'm just saying it happened.
I wasn't worried about the arc reactor. But I'm just like, oh my god, was he gonna chop his head off with the shield?
That was a good scene where like Tony's like he's looking down at it, and like he realizes he's lost.
But Cap, being the good, I mean, he just takes out the power source, and that's the end of that.
I think he tells him where the Avengers are. Like right there at the end, he was like, they're over here.
And I love the scene when he starts walking away and he goes, that shield doesn't belong to you. My dad made that for you.
Yeah.
And he just drops it on
the
ground.
That's also
amazing.
Like, like I said, this kind of cements Tony as a villain. He's kind of like a petulant child where he's like, you beat me, but like I want my shield back.
His best friend killed his parents. Like, I get it. Like, there is no
I
see all their points, which is what's so great about this movie is there is no right or wrong. There is no bad guy or good guy. You go in, if you're on one team, you at least question the
other.
Like,
absolutely.
But the scale is definitely tipped towards Cap.
Yeah, for sure.
But and also leading up to that, that's what I liked about. We kind of forgot that at this point, Black Panther is also still on this island.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean, and he's.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's now privy to everything that's happened and now realizes that Zemo's behind his dad's death.
And I love that he stopped Zemo from killing himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all Zemo wanted to do, which we alluded to, but he just wanted to tear the Avengers apart.
They also revealed that his family was killed in Sokovia.
And that's that was the voicemail.
The voicemail.
Right. So Zemo's about to kill himself when he's talking to Black Panther, and Black Panther stops him, and he's basically like...
Which I also think is a way for Marvel... Like, it's definitely Marvel listening to the fans, where it says you kill your villains,
stop killing all the villains.
The only ones we have left are Loki, the Kingpin, and I think the Red Skull. Did they kill the Red Skull?
No, he just disappeared.
Yeah.
Other than that,
they've killed everybody.
Yeah. Right.
Did they kill Sam Rockwell? I guess they didn't.
No. He's in jail.
He's in jail. But they killed Guy Pearce.
Yeah,
he's dead.
Yeah. It's like killing off your Joker in the first Batman. Stop doing that. You don't kill villains in comic book movies. You should know better.
Unfortunately.
And then the one time they didn't kill Joker, they killed him anyway.
So then Cap goes down to the raft and he ends up breaking out the Avengers. And this is what I think is going to happen. I think there's Avengers 3.1 is going to be an Iron Man movie. And I think Avengers 3.2 is going to be the Secret Avengers, which will be Captain America and his squad. That's what I think.
But here's the thing, though. Is not the plan still to be Thanos and
Thanos?
Infinity Gauntlet?
No idea.
Yeah, but I think it is. And Peter...
you kind of have to have everybody for that.
Star-Lord is going to be in the second one, at least.
At least. Yeah, and so is Captain Marvel. They've accidentally leaked that, is that Carol Danvers will be in the first one.
I thought they basically said it's everybody.
I think Infinity War, what was going to be Infinity War Part 1, is going to be sort of like the therapy session.
Part two
is going to be the battle.
Yeah.
That's where some people are going to die.
But the Russos are saying they're going to be two very different movies, so I can't see how, if they're not going to be a part one and part
One's
two.
One's all from Thanos' point of view.
different points of view. There you go.
One is a Bollywood musical.
Perfect. That'd be awesome.
That would be very different.
You know what? Right now, I feel like they could pull it off.
They probably could.
They can pull off anything. Yeah. And then I can't wait to see how Doctor Strange is going to...
And that's the thing is, we're not going to see any Avengers. There's been... they're filming. I think Doctor Strange is probably done. It's coming out.
I'm sure.
It's in post. Yeah. So, there has been no leak as to another Avenger being in that movie. So, I think it's going to be a standalone.
They said maybe Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that.
The post, I thought we were going to see Doctor Strange at the end of this movie.
I thought we were, too.
I honestly thought that was going to be one of the posts.
And he's a Secret Avenger. Yeah. He's Team Cap. So,
I mean, he got a mention in Winter Soldier.
He did. Yeah, his name is on Stephen Strange. So the first end title sequence is
Wakanda.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So Bucky, he's got all of that programming inside of him. Cap takes him to Wakanda, and he's like, "Are you sure this is the best thing for you to do?" And Bucky's just kind of like, "Until they can figure out how to get this stuff out of my head, it's probably best for me to be kept on ice."
Yeah.
And they
put him in carbonite.
They put him in carbonite. Mm-hmm. They refreeze him. We're going to see him again. That's a given. He's going to be Captain America at some point. When that's going to happen, I don't know. But I assume it's going to happen. And then the second title sequence is back in Queens. Peter Parker has a special gift from Tony Stark.
He's talking to Aunt May, and there's a really big guy.
Did you get a couple good licks in?
But they had one guy, and he was like a giant.
He's huge.
Yeah, he did the Donald Trump. He's huge.
So good.
And it turns out that Tony Stark has given him the spider signal.
Yeah.
That should go on his belt.
That's what I said. Normally it'd be in his belt, but he doesn't really have much of a belt.
Well, he does, though. If you look,
it's got the little cartridges on
the side. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love how the web cartridges are on the belt in this
thing. He doesn't have the big buckle.
But it's cool. He has his communicator. Yeah. It's awesome.
What a funny thing to give the guy, too. Of all the things to give, I give you a little spider signal.
Flashlight.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's where we end. So we're done with the Marvel stuff until the official.
What's their schedule for next year?
Next year is what, 2017?
Strange.
Is it Thor 3?
Oh, Ragnarok and Guardians.
I think Thor is 2018. I don't know
if it's Doctor Strange, Guardians, Thor, or Guardians.
When's Spider-Man?
Spider-Man is next year.
Is it? They haven't even started filming that yet, have they?
No, they have not.
This is why Black Panther and Captain Marvel got pushed, right?
Yes.
Which I'm sorry, that's a big shame. I really want to see Black Panther now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So what do we got, Kevin?
Thor. It says Ragnarok. July if they didn't push it. Yeah.
Okay. I think we're going to, I think that'll be the last time we see Chris Hemsworth as Thor.
I think it's probably true. Yep. I think he's probably
Or as
done.
A movie star.
Wow.
So what have we got in 2016?
Huntsman 3.
So what have we got in 2016? It's Doctor Strange and Spider-Man?
Now you guys think, they'll, Doctor go, Strange. You think they'll go Lady Thor?
I think they could.
That'd be
I don't think it'll be Natalie Portman.
No. Yeah, she's not going to even be in the third Thor movie.
No. Really? No. Is she off on another adventure?
Well, no, like they're not going to be on Earth. It's Ragnarok, so it's all going to be on Asgard.
Yeah, she's had Midgar, her time. She's done her time there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we've only got the X-Men, Doctor Strange, and Spider-Man. Isn't that? Oh, no, that's the Sinister Six, and that's gone.
I wish Spider-Man was this year. Yeah. I can't wait. I mean, leaving that movie, it was like Black Panther movie, Spider-Man
that's
movie.
That's what I want to see right now. Pumped, I honestly want to see Black Panther right now.
And where's Ant-Man and Wasp?
Oh, yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
That was another 2018. And that's another interesting thing. Yeah. How is that going to play out? Because he's kind of a fugitive again now?
He is a little bit,
A lot of it.
The guy's got to break.
He's in the cell, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, he got busted out. But I mean, he's
right. I mean, he's on that side of the law. So,
I honestly do think that, and I could be wrong, but my gut tells me that they're going to go kind of also heist-ish, but I think it's going to be more like a heart-to-heart.
A buddy heist.
The only thing,
it's going to be like a romantic.
A lighthearted heist.
I think that's what they're going to do.
The only question I had about the whole Scott Lang thing was, I thought at the end of that movie, he kind of redeemed himself as a good guy, and then he went and broke the law. I just thought
when Captain America calls you to be the part of the team,
Considering
so much of Ant-Man was about, like, I got to do what's best for my family.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, then this is like, and when he said, what's new?
So I just thought that kind of undermined
both teams
that
are kind of mirror images of themselves, he's their Spider-Man.
Right.
And he's starstruck.
He had some great lines. I love it. Here's your shield, Captain America.
No, I believe this belongs to you, Captain America. No, I loved it, too. No, I mean, I just thought it was kind of weird.
Everybody had a moment.
He didn't seem to care, though, that he was, like, going to be, because Cap says, you're going be a fugitive or whatever. He's like what's new?
Yeah, what's
and
new?
I'm like, but the whole part of the last movie was like,
but he's with the good guys.
His bit in prison was kind of funny too.
I think what's so great about this movie as we wrap it up is just how adept they are. Our biggest complaint about comic book movies besides Zack Snyder is is that they put too many characters in them.
I agree.
And this is like the warp tour of comic book movies, right?
This is the best Avengers movie we've ever seen.
This is the
20th
anniversary warp tour. And every character shows up organically. Like, every character shows up for a reason. It's not just fan service. It's not just so they can sell you an action figure, although they will.
They will.
But it makes sense. And when Ant-Man shows up out of nowhere, like, that makes sense.
Right.
And they have so many
characters. Ant-Man, like, you already have that introduction between Falcon and Ant-Man.
And this is where, going back where DC doesn't have the patience, is that they want that right now.
Right.
And here's everybody.
Yeah. And, like, and Marvel has earned it. And also, when those characters show up, it's not confusing. They don't have to give you a bunch of exposition. You're like, oh, yeah, Ant-Man. Okay, I know what's going on here.
Right.
And, like, it's all there for you.
Which was also a great line where he's like, hey, I hope you're not still sore about that thing. And he's like, never going to happen again.
Never going to happen again. Yeah. Tic-tac.
But you're right. No, they handled...
Never going to happen again. Tic-tac. That's great. That's right.
They handled the Avengers in this movie the way Ultron should have been. Like, even though I'm not saying Ultron's terrible, but Ultron's a bit of a mess with throwing so many characters in. This
movie... they were trying to do. This movie, like, nailed
this
it.
Nailed it. This is, I think, the best Avengers movie we've seen. And
now, do you consider it an Avengers movie? I still think it's a Captain America movie.
No, that's Captain America movie. Well, no. I just mean that the Avengers
the way they handled the Avengers.
Well, because what it did was, you know, like, what we've learned is, like, you could have an Avengers movie without really having to have the Avengers all the way, you know,
through
the movie.
Right. Yeah.
If you give them a good solid few moments, they stand out. You go back and go, man, Ant-Man was great. And it's
ironically,
like, he was like 10, 15 minutes.
You
got to
wonder, you know, a good director for the one of these movies, Gary Marshall.
Oh, no.
Hear me out.
We forget to mention that that Sharon Carter and Captain America finally
kiss.
That was another great scene.
Yeah,
which
was like,
the two wingmen in the car.
He was like, bird suit? Come on. Like, that got a laugh out of you, too.
Yeah. Although, I think she kind of got shortchanged, though, in this movie.
She did a little bit.
Yeah.
I expected a little bit more.
Yeah. We'll see more. I think we'll see more of her.
But I think they did a great job of making... with having all those Avengers and still being a Captain America sequel. That's what they did.
Okay, my thought is I would consider these three Cap movies like probably the best comic book trilogy.
Yeah. It might
it's one of the best trilogies. My only caveat is this third one is like not just a Cap sequel. It's an Avengers sequel. It's, it's also Iron Man 4. It's also...
But it's still Cap-centric at the same time, which is amazing that they juggled it
But it doesn't stand alone like the other ones.
No.
Like, you can watch First Avengers standalone. You can watch Winter Soldier standalone. Sure, this one, you need everything else.
If this was an actual issue, there would be lots of asterisks.
Yes, there would.
See, issue 319.
I do think, like, as we're wrapping up, as far as trilogies go, I feel like this is... leaped up to like one of the best consistently good every single entry is a great movie as far as trilogies go, which I think is hard.
It's like, really hard. Nolan couldn't stick it.
No.
But I think they, in a way, they have it easier, though, because they have so many...
They have all these other things to draw on to make it better.
They have other movies. They even... I mean, just to bring in William Hurt as Ross.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, you know, he lucked out.
Yes, he did.
They didn't need him back again, but it's like... Yeah, okay. It's a nice little nod. They're like, once again, acknowledging.
We need a character. And again, with juggling all the characters, like, we need a character to do this thing in this scene.
Oh, we've got a guy.
And like, who can we look to in our arsenal to bring back for 2 days?
Right.
Right.
You know?
And we've got this dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there it is.
Dan, I know we're running along, but a video recovery?
Yeah, a quick one. It's one that I have not seen in a long time, and I was just thinking about, like, you know, thinking about Spider-Man and thinking about, like, the whole state of comic book movies, and there was one that was on my mind for a while.
Exo-Man?
Yes. And it was from 1990, and it was, like, right after, it was right during, you know, after Burton's Batman, and then everybody was all about, like, making comic book movies, and this is one, it's weird now to watch it again because it's such a B-movie. And so it's so indie, and it's 1990s Darkman by Sam Raimi.
Oh, nice, right? Yeah.
And it's so odd because you could see that when you watch this movie now, Universal is so wanting, because Universal ponied up a lot of money.
A lot of money for Spider-Man.
Sam Raimi, you know, wanted to make a superhero movie, and Universal was like, well, you need a superhero movie. But at the same time, Sam Raimi is basically making a movie that is not a whole lot different than, like, his Evil Dead movies, because, like, from a budget standpoint and a special effects standpoint, it's still very campy B-movie horror, and it's, you know, it's a quick hour.
I really like that movie.
That's a good movie.
I love this movie, Liam Neeson.
Yeah,
it's Liam Neeson. Yeah. You know, and it's
pick the elephant.
I mean, it's out of control. Like, there's things that happen in this movie. Like, Universal had to have been scratching their head. Like,
that's a
like,
weird.
Well, this is what the kids want.
That is a weird timeline, because Universal was going to do a Spider-Man movie.
Yes,
and then they had Sam Raimi as well, and then they come back. They've, you know, Sony and gets Spider-Man, and now
this is definitely more of a Sam Raimi movie than a superhero movie, and it's more of a horror movie than it is a superhero movie. But it was, in every way, they attempted to make a superhero movie, including bringing Danny Elfman on board to do the soundtrack over, and because the testing, audience testing, was really poor on this. Universal interfered a lot with the editing, and in fact, the initial film editor had a nervous breakdown and left, so I had to bring in another editor.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that one.
And so
is there a director's cut of this?
I don't think so. Okay. No. Okay. And there was like two sequels.
I would say there are like two direct-to-video.
You know, I never watched either of those.
Me either. I was like,
I feel like there was a TV show.
What?
You're thinking of Darkwing Duck.
Yeah. I know there was a TV show for that.
But so they brought in like Danny Elfman. This is actually where Danny Elfman and they did it Army of Darkness too. But Danny Elfman, he and Sam Raimi started to work together a lot. And because of his soundtrack, the movie started testing higher. So
he
brought in more of the horror.
There's an unaired pilot for Darkman.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Elfman and Raimi were at odds.
They had a falling out over Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
No, they had a falling out.
But
everybody had a falling out
of
Spider-Man 3.
They made back up for Oz, but they had a falling out during Spider-Man 3, and I think Elfman was right.
Why?
Did
Randy go, we need more jazz scenes?
This dance sequence, I don't think that's my thing. And he's like, yeah, sure you can, Danny.
Come on.
And he's like,
give us a little Dead Man's Party.
It's totally worth checking out. It's on Netflix right now.
That's so good.
And it gives you a kind of like a window into, you know,
what a Sam Raimi Batman movie might have looked like.
Holy
It is. Yeah, it's out of control. Yeah, it's worth checking out.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
So that's it for this episode. That's a lot of episodes. But it's a big movie. So I guess we'll go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
And Matt doesn't want to be found.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. You can find me on MySpace.
Yeah. This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. Also, don't forget to check out the Unreal Radio podcast, episode 23, where I do like a quick little guest spot.
Are they paying for sponsorship now?
You know what? They brought me on. The least I could do is give
them at stamps.com.
Yeah, stamps.com. Yeah.
Yeah, tell them at least stamps.com.
Just from the conversation earlier.
Not after the story I told.
No, Shop and save.
I'm Snooks is going to be given $300 bill.
Yeah. Yeah. I still won't pay it.
Statute of limitations.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm not giving that apron back either.
This is Kevin Brackett, and you can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, and oh, what a conversation it has been.
Yeah.
You've seen this movie because it made like $200 million this weekend. If you want to chime in, if we forgot something, if we got something wrong, it was probably Kevin. So go to Facebook and tell him all about it.
It probably was Kevin.
It's generally. And so you can go to facebook.com/realspoilers where we will be waiting for you. And you can also join our League of Show Sharers. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe, do all that fun, fancy stuff. And it's chock full of vitamin C, so it's good for you. So we appreciate that, and it helps us a lot. So next week, I don't know. I thought it was X-Men, and I was wrong. So
not
X-Men. I don't know. So I'll be reviewing
Mother's
X-Men,
Day.
And the rest of you won't. Yeah, Mother's Day is a two for
I'll be there.
Mother's Day and my Big Fat Greek Wedding, too.
Yeah, great.
It's a twofer. You're lucky little bastards. So
it's like the worst drive-in in America right now.
Yeah. It's a drive-in made up entirely of like I don't know, Vespas. Or
it's actually
Rascals. Can you take a Rascal?
It's actually a three-movie marathon, and they end it with Batman v Superman.
Yeah. There'll be nobody left by then, so that's how you should end it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're doing next week, but we'll be doing something. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Lee surrenders to Grant at Appomattox.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.